And so on my side, I am Barbara, and the surname is Thompson. I chair this committee. But just before you introduce yourself, can I say welcome to the workshop? And by the end of today and the end of tomorrow, let's hope we'll be coming out of the workshop, people with better understanding and knowledge as to how we are going to push our committee forward. We have our staff members here. They are going to be facilitating the workshop for us. And we will be getting some assistance from our committee researchers as well. So can I say welcome once more? And on that note, can we start from this side to introduce ourselves? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I'm Hope Marcus, and I'm a member of the committee. And when Barbara's not around, then I chair the committee for her.
Thanks very much. Good morning. I'm Grace Seke, member of this committee from ANC.
I just want to say good morning, Barbara, and we're happy to have you around today. We are just the happiest. My name is Professor Sin Maduna. I'm from the ANC. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm also very glad to see you. I'm Patty Duncan from the DA and also member of this committee.
Morning, Chairperson. My name is Kiki Khoikwana. I'm from the Congress of the People.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David Shabalala, Ministry for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. I have the children's program.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Benny Badime. I head the disability program within the Ministry for Children, Women and Persons with Disabilities. Thanks.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Vui Masana. I am the acting DG in the Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sylvia Sibiya from Project Management Office. I'll be working in this coming 2 days with the chairperson to facilitate the program. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ayanda Boss. I'm the acting secretary for this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. I do apologize for my lateness. Unfortunately, I had a domestic problem, and in the issues of Women's Day, I had to sort out her problem first. I'm very sorry. Thank you. I'm Denise Robinson, and a member of the Democratic Alliance, are very passionate about the cause of helping women in all aspects of society to reach their full potential. Thank you.
Can we know who's the gentleman that is handing out the... You are part of us, so we need to know who you are.
Good morning. I'm Kashifa, the researcher with respect to children, youth, and disability. Thank you.
Good morning, members and guests. I'm Krista Levendale, the researcher on gender for this committee.
Yes, good morning, ma'am. My name is Jackie Agents. I'm from the Parliamentary Communication Services, and I write for Parliament's In Session publication.
In the room, we need to know who you are.
Sorry about that. I'm Lois Law, and I work for the Catholic Parliamentary Liaison Office, and I look at issues pertaining to children and persons with disabilities. with disabilities. Sorry, I have my voice right. Thank you.
Introduce yourself. Have we?
My name is Tando Mangai. I'm from CPUT. I'm an intern student in Parliament.
Thanks. I think it's very important that we know one another. Then, whenever we want information, we know exactly who to touch, you know. You shouldn't just take it for granted that people are here and, you know. And for the purpose of time, we'll have to move a bit faster. It's now 9:30, and we had envisaged to start at least by 9:00. So my role for now would be just to try and say what our role is as a committee or what our mandate is. We are going to use the mandate, the general mandate that is in the National Assembly rule. But as we would know that since our committee is actually extended, so we will be getting someone from the legal advisors to tell us what more needs to be added on our mandate. Obviously, it's more because we've got to include the groups that you are dealing with. But basically, I don't know how many of us have the copy of the rules of the National Assembly. But if you don't, you can always get it afterwards. But our main function as a committee, it's very important to know what our mandate is so that we can always stick to it. So as this committee, one of our main mandate is to, we have to maintain our oversight. That is the exercise within a portfolio of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation. I think that is very important. We should not just pass laws and not make sure that those laws are implemented. Okay? So we have a lot of legislation that falls within this committee. We still have to go through all those legislation and check whether those laws that have been passed by Parliament are being implemented. Another role that we played would be any executive organ of state falling within our portfolio. That would be like the Human Rights Commission would fall under this portfolio, the Gender Commission and so forth. Any constitutional institution falling within this portfolio is also part of our mandate. Any other body or institution in respect of which government was assigned to it. We can also monitor, investigate, inquire into and make recommendations concerning any such executive organ of state, constitutional institution or other body or institution. That would be including the legislative program, the budget. I know in most cases we never, you know, get involved in the budgeting process. So in terms of the mandate, it's actually supposed to be so. Rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff, and policies of such organ of state, institutional, or other body or institution. We may also consult and liaise with any executive organ of state or constitutional institution and must perform any other function, task, or duties assigned to it in terms of the constitution, the legislation, these rules, the joint rules or resolution of the National Assembly that would include the functions, the tasks and duties concerning parliamentary oversight or supervision of such executive organs of state, constitutional institutions and other bodies or institutions. Basically, that is our mandate. But I would advise that as we are sitting here today in this workshop, as a committee, we can come up with recommendations or proposals as to how we would want to see our mandate. So we have that right to do so. And I think we'll have that opportunity to do that because we need to extend our mandate. This is just almost a general mandate that falls within any other committee. I mean, the Labour would have the same mandate, Health would have the same mandate. But then we have these extended groups that we are dealing with. So we have the right today to come up with proposals as to how we would see our mandate. I'm told there would be someone from Mukesh, I don't know whether that person is here already, from the legal advisors that would take us through. I don't know whether the research was in the meantime before that person can come in. They would take us through on some of the issues pertaining to the mandate of this committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the key issue is to look back to the title of the committee. It deals with women, children, youth, and persons with disabilities. And notwithstanding the fact that we'll listen to the presentation by the acting DG on the ministry, which is a particular focus that includes all three except youth. So one of the key issues is to understand with these three targets what the implications are for youth.
Sorry, Chairman, the presenter has come in front. It's very difficult to look at them like this.
They are not audible.
Better. I think just to start off with, as the committee was originally envisaged, it was envisaged at the time when the ministry was announced, which included the four target groups, women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities. Shortly, we'll hear from the director, acting director general, about what the ministry's strategic plan is, which includes all three except youth. So I think the first point of discussion is to give forth a proposal from committee members, is to say, well, besides us listening to the key matters pertaining to the ministry, and then thereafter we'll hear from the National Youth Development Agency, is to have some sort of discussion with members as to, with those four target groups, what are your thoughts in terms of beginning to shape and look and see, besides the joint rules 201, which Chairperson just specifically referred to. So I think that would be the first starting point, looking at the three target groups, women, children, persons with disabilities, and then youth. And then to hear from the floor, giving proposals to Chairperson as to what your thoughts are. Thank you.
Are we clear on that one? So, for instance, we could also, I'm told, since that the youth will now fall under the presidency, they are no longer falling under this ministry. As a committee, we could perhaps take along the elderly, for instance. It's within our right to do that.
Thanks, Chair. I believe this is a very, thanks very much, Chair, and members of the portfolio committee. I believe to us this will also be a very important discussion to listen to, Chair. We've been umming and umming about older persons, for instance. We've not been 100% sure
what it is and where the decision actually lies. But what I can say, Chair, is that on the 7th of July, the proclamation that was signed did actually pronounce on the target groups for the ministry. And maybe what we do need to say is that at this point in time, it is these groups, the ones that are on the screen, women, children, and persons with disabilities, but also because the proclamation is something that can be amended from the recommendation that would come from the portfolio committee, I think we can still present to the presidency a recommendation, and I think that there will be legal implications if we include something. So I would just say that the process would have to also be confirmed then legally so that we know exactly. We've left out from the strat plan, Chairperson, older persons, but when we started, we had included it, and when we started, we had included the youth. And I think it's going to come out in the presentation, and I really personally would value very much a finalization of this decision at whatever level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I really like that suggestion that we make a special target of and focus on older people as well, because I feel they are vulnerable. I personally don't feel women as such are as vulnerable as older people, and children are people who need protection. Older people need protection. But I'd like to suggest that we carry on and listen to the discussion and presentation first so we can see what is covered and then perhaps move into that discussion.
Yeah. Up to T.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm listening to what our researcher is saying around youth. What I would like to know, first of all, is are we now a legal, is the ministry, is it now a legal, is everything legal now? So we are a ministry, in fact. Okay. I think that the fact that the youth is now under the presidency and it is now taken out from this ministry, one just wonders why, why it's actually been taken out. And like I've asked in the beginning also, that we actually need a new ministry whereby it was under the presidency. But in any case, we are now on our way. I think that we can still carry on with these. I also agree with the disabilities, with the older persons sector, that we try and bring that in. But I don't think whether we will be able to change anything, making youth part of this ministry, since it seems to be taken out. So maybe if Kashifa can maybe just tell us a bit more. Is it a concern that youth is now no longer part of this ministry, so that we can maybe debate it a bit more?
Just before you talk, I don't think that she would be in a position to perhaps with the right people in the department should at least explain. Because I also have a concern as to, you know, now that they are no longer with us, they're in the presidency, do we still work with them? For instance, the agency, are we going to work with them? They are coming today to make a presentation. So the question would be, why are they making a presentation to us if they are no longer falling under this ministry? Perhaps just briefly the department to tell us more about the youth being under the presidency, what this actually means to us as a committee. Do they come to us? Or, you know, thanks.
I'm not 100% sure I'm the right person to answer that question because I don't know when and how the decision was made. But I understand that they have requested, since they have now been moved to the agency, the work of the agency, National Youth Development Agency, that it was felt that they belonged in the presidency. Now, As for the implications for the committee, I'm not 100% sure I would be in a position to answer that, and I don't quite know where those decisions are made. But if I can also just touch on the issue of the older person's chair while I'm about it. Part of the problem with the issue of older persons is that, as you know, they have been covered, the needs of older persons have been covered under the social development program. So, but it's a specific focus of that department, as I understand, social security. And it is something that I think is going to require some political decisions as well in terms of whether it stays there. But the point that we have been constantly making is that if you are dealing with the group, the targeted groups as we have them now, you cannot help but see that there is an intersection between women and persons with disabilities, for instance, cross-cutting. You have got, if you look at the women, there will be youth who are women, children who are children, older persons who are women and youth and older persons. So there's got to be this strategic discussion. And I believe myself, Chairperson, that it is correct for the committee to interrogate these matters and make a recommendation in this regard. And I would say that at the end of the day, we must make sure that the programs of government do benefit all the targeted groups much more fully. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you are correct when you speak about the extension of our mandate. Because already if you look at the name of the portfolio committee, which went through the rules committee, it's women, youth, which means, as we discuss further, the youth will still be oversighted by us. But as the acting DG said, this whole committee has a cross-cutting effect because you will get the youth, like you said, in the women, the youth in children, etc. But our mandate is already on youth of this committee. Therefore, I think, like you said, we're having the oversight, we're listening to the National Youth Development Agency. I won't speak to elderly, but my proposal will be sticking with your proposal that, we just discuss elderly further and see how we're going to fit it into our mandate too, because it will be a legal process when we come to that decision. And then the thing is when it comes although social development, like the DG say, is handling elderly, if you look at the ministry, it has a transversal function because you'll get elderly in other departments too. Although, the core function of social development is to deal with them. Thank you. So I'm waiting for the discussion as we go along.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'm having a serious concern because this is the beginning of it. We are discussing our mandate, and whilst we're discussing our mandate, we want to make additions to the mandate and so on. Yet, on the other hand, we're still battling with the youth. We do not even have information on what's going to happen on that particular one. So I would like to suggest that let us, at this stage, leave the elderly person out of the program, and we move with our program. Because my concern is that when we talk about women, it is a huge task. Most of our women are still under poverty out there. And if now we are going to bring social security, because once we talk about elderly persons, meaning that the whole social security comes into this ministry. And maybe our women will be swallowed by that because it's a huge task on its own alone, that particular one. So I would like to suggest that let us find, because I think the purpose of this workshop is to find who who are we, Singoba and Tina? We do not know, so that we are able to move forward.
Thanks, Kiki, but I think it's precisely why we're having a workshop, is to come up with solutions. I agree, we have to describe as to who we are. But we are also here, we have a right to come up with a proposal as to how we would want to see our mandate. So I don't think there's anything that is problematic in what we are discussing. We may not just be finding one another at this stage, but we are doing exactly what we are supposed to do, to try and come up with our mandate. I wouldn't want to see us leaving out the elderly. It's not to say that we are trying to create more work for ourselves, but here we have an opportunity of this new ministry. Why not use it? Why not tap on the resources that are there to see whether we can feed that into our elderly as well? I wouldn't agree with the fact that we should leave out the elderly. And I think as we go along, we will be coming out with solutions. So let's not be disturbed by the fact that we are discussing. We are here to discuss. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. Jay, maybe I want to ask a question, if there's anybody that can answer me. Why was youth taken out of this ministry in the first place? Just because the Youth Development Agency is now sorting under the presidency. If somebody could just maybe answer that question, and then I will take it further. Thank you.
End up. The problem also is that we don't have a person in this meeting that is in a better position to answer that.
Can I then perhaps say it is going to be important that, seeing that we're asking this question, that we maybe get somebody from the presidency to answer us on that. Because I would want to believe that if you look at SASA, for instance, which is also an agency that is now looking after all the grants, Chairperson, we are going to have an oversight role over all of those agencies. And I cannot see why youth was actually taken out. And we also need to be very sure, what is this agency actually going to do that we need to oversight? So, in fact, what I want to say is, depending on the answer, is that I don't see why youth actually needs to be taken out of this ministry.
So it would seem that we have a concern as to wanting to understand as to why youth was taken out. So I suppose that you feel that by the youth being taken out, we are a little bit disempowered. Is that the feeling?
Yes, Chairperson, because let me maybe put it this way. If you look at the Western Cape, for instance, what happened there to the Youth Commission, it's been dissolved. And of course, somewhere along the line, we as a committee are going to look at all 9 provinces with regard to these commissions and the youth and people with disability, and our women and children. So I'm just a bit concerned that how are we going to have oversight over the youth?
Marcus, and for you?
Chairperson, I can't see the concern at the moment because the Youth Commission is coming. Because when a person looks at the committee, the portfolio, they say, yeah, that's the name of the committee, Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth, Children, People with Disabilities, which means we oversight in that ministry. And seeing that there's youth, we oversight them, the youth do. But we have to see, I think, when the youth are here, to what extent. I think as to what extent. Because as you rightly said, let us make proposals at the end of this meeting. Because we are a portfolio committee for youth too. And the only youth that we know is the National Youth Agency at the moment. Thank you.
Let's have for you first.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm not going to differ too much from what the Vice Chair has said, Chairperson. I just wanted to make a... Oh, I don't know. I don't know these things. I'm sorry. But I wanted to make a process suggestion for you, Chairperson, which is to say, before we get too much into speculating about the whys and wherefores for that, maybe we request, it's unfortunate that the person who's doing the presentation is not here, but what I understood is that they requested, the youth did request that they belonged somewhere. And this is a question I think that should be could be clarified from the person from the presidency when they arrive. I wanted to make that as a process suggestion. Thanks, Chair.
Do you still want to have a bite, Kiki?
Just to add, Chair, because I was going to suggest the same because the ministry. It was the Ministry for Women, Youth, the Disabled Persons, and so on. That's why the portfolio committee is like that. So I think it's very important that we get that clarity, what happened to the youth, where is the youth going to fall as far as the oversight is concerned.
I was just about to suggest the same. And also the right people that we should question are not here anyway. They will be coming, we will question that. For now, I would suggest that we move on with the program, not forgetting what we have discussed. We will come back to it. But let's move on with the program and have a person from the department to take us through the presentation. I don't know who will be doing that. Is that you, Vuyo?
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the Portfolio Committee. I just wanted first to preface the presentation by saying that I think the discussion that is that preceded this presentation is actually a very important one, and that we're going to need to really, really clarify that a lot of what we are doing is now derived from the fact that the ministry has been proclaimed. The proclamation was signed by the President on the 7th of July, and I just want to introduce the name of the ministry properly, and then for the department as it was proclaimed, as well as to say that there is an opportunity to make further amendments. So the name of the department as it stands
just
now.
Hold on, Priya.
Thanks, Chair.
And which document would you be talking to? Do you have something on
yes,
paper?
Yes, Chair. It's the PowerPoint presentation that was circulated. It's got my name and a date that was erroneously put there as the 30th of July. So it's an updated presentation. It's the 11th of August, if you can just change that. So I am going to go to that presentation in a moment. But I wanted also just to alert the members that the manner in which the department and the ministry were proclaimed, even beginning on the 9th of May, when the President announced, he used both names. He used Department of Women. And when we had our stress planning, we said, it can't be a Department of Women. It's a Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities. Now, the name, as it has been proclaimed legally, is called Department for Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. Now, we have interrogated this very, very, very seriously as the ministry. And first of all, I just want to sensitize members that those of us with disabilities really, really do not like to be called people or disabled people. We describe not the condition of the person,
We don't describe the person. You don't say the crippled Vui. You say a person with a physical disability. That is an educational thing. So we prefer to use persons rather than people, because the international conventions, which result in the naming, as we now name it, named internationally, we talk of persons. And in South Africa, they still have disabled people association, but the name that we want to bring forward, that we will be asking for amendment, is this persons with disabilities. So I want to request that as part of your workshop, Chairperson, you have a competition at the end of this workshop, and let the members practice properly in the showers tomorrow morning, and that they correctly, you know, and in the newspapers also, we try to really bring the name of the department and the ministry to be the Department for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities. I thought for now let's get that part right. And then, yes, we will be taking an amendment to the president to amend the people to persons. So then the other amendments, we waited to change those just in case there will be further changes, including the issue of the older persons. So for now, we are calling ourselves Department and the Ministry for Women, Children, and Persons with Disabilities.
The older persons, what would be preferred, elderly or the older persons?
It seems that we will be talking about older persons again. Chair, the other point that I'd like to just preface this presentation with is to say that we did come to the portfolio committee just before the budget vote of the presidency. We did say that at that time we were going to be developing our own strategic plan. Indeed, we have developed the strategic plan, which is what we are presenting today. I want to say that it is not a final document. We are consulting. We have consulted widely on it. We are still continuing to consult because we believe that the formation of this ministry is actually quite an important historical landmark in the country. It arises from the women who actually asked for this ministry to be put together, and indeed then the mandate was increased further. So we have felt a need to say to the electorate of South Africa and to the portfolio committee, are putting it on the table, that it is something that is work in progress, the strategic plan. So we talk about the strategic focus, and we are in the process of as well finalizing all the processes that relate to the funding of this ministry, because the department has now been proclaimed, but it still doesn't have a vote of its own. It still does not have a budget of its own. It's still relying very much on a stretch budget of the presidency. We have submitted our MTEF inputs. We are hopeful that they will take seriously everything that we have put in there, and we would like to share that as well as part of how this strategic plan is going to be resourced, therefore. And we are hopeful that by the end of October, latest, at least we shall have a final decision on what resources will be put together for the implementation of the strategic focus of this department and this ministry. I just do need to say that in terms of human resources, we are still reliant on myself as the acting person poached from the Rural Development and Land Reform, as well as the 15 or so staff members who are terribly, terribly stretched that were responsible for the program. So I put that on the table as well, just so that you are aware that this is what we are functioning with. I think it's a very exciting moment for us, those that are involved. It does mean that there's a lot of work for very few people. You're concerned with looking for offices, for budgets, for human beings, for everything. But it's exciting because it's new work. And so, Chairperson, I wanted just to put that forward. Now, Chairperson, I see from the program that I have 30 minutes for the presentation. I do want to say that we've prepared an overview, which is why we're going to come with this presentation. Their programs, they are also represented, and I thought that I should just alert you to the fact that we've got Mr. Shabalala over here, who is the specialist on children's rights. We've got Mr. Padime over here, who is the specialist on persons with disabilities. And we've got the specialist, who is Linda, unfortunately, because the director for the women's program is not around, so she's standing in for her. So we've got the three components, the three programs, if you like, also represented. And I'm doing the overview, and then if there are specific questions, I'm hoping that the members of the portfolio committee could direct some of those questions to them as well. So the presentation, as we've got them, Chairperson, I'm now beginning with my presentation. I'm going to be doing an introduction. You're going to look at the context very briefly and then say what we believe to be the new ministry's mandate. We're going to actually look at the vision, the strategic thrust, and talk about an approach and a department strategic implementation framework, because within that resides the actual outputs and all the other things that we will be looking at. We have developed what we understand to be the departmental strategic objectives. We will present those. And then, as I say, I will announce the programs, and then we will unpack them, if you like, the blockies later on. The blockies will talk to what the department's outputs, indicators, and targets, and all of those things over the MTF. The MTF being the period from 2009 to 2012. So that's where we are going with the presentation. Okay, I'm going to whiz through the presentation then, Chairperson, if you don't mind, and then I'm going to raise some strategic issues, strategic questions, which I believe will be very important for the portfolio committee to consider. Some of them, the ones that we've just been talking about, because I believe in your oversight function, you are going to have to look at these very, very carefully. So the ministry, as we all know, was announced by the President, President Jacob Zuma, on the 9th of May, together with other ministries. The cabinet there was looking at a way of strengthening the executive capacity to deliver and track progress on government priorities. The priorities, I would like to say, are the priorities of government as articulated in the medium-term strategic framework document. Chairperson, I'd like to recommend that if members have not read this one, that they really do read it. It is the MTSF that guides government's programs for the next 5 years. It's during your term of office, and that document, I think, sets out government priorities, and I recommend it. It's called Together, Doing More and Better. I didn't bring a copy for members because I think you can access it through the website. I do have, I think, my own personal copy, but which I regard as my own Bible, if you like, because I think if you are going to be working and as any government department, you should be saying what are at the programmatic level. What are then the programs that are derived from those strategic objectives? Because there are some targets that are set for the next 5 years. In essence, as I said earlier on, the executive wants to strengthen its capacity to deliver and track capacity more. In the fourth term of the democracy, the context within which we are working, as we all know, we still face a lot of challenges in addressing the historical disparities, in meeting the needs of the historically marginalized group. And there comes the point that we've been talking about just now. And we've identified those marginalized groups, and they are identified in the MTSF document that I was talking about as women, children, youth, persons with disabilities, and older persons. So they have the context within which we are working does in fact, and I think that's part of why the name of the portfolio committee also is derived from that. There are a number of challenges. There are a number of successes in the fourth term of democracy in our country, but there are other challenges. But one of the biggest
problems and the context within which we are working is the global economic crisis that we are aware of. We are talking about economic growth that we have seen, but there's deepening poverty and inequality. It seems like a schizophrenic kind of relationship where you're talking about economic growth, but at the same time, jobless growth, as we know. And one of the things that we see in this context also is an increased feminized nature of poverty. In other words, the majority of the people who are poor, who are living beyond the poverty line, still remain female or women or female-headed households, for that matter. The poverty line, as described in the MDGs, as we know, is those people who are living below the $1 a day, a kind of poverty line. The increasing numbers of poor child-headed households, definitely, and the elderly, and the increasing rates of disabilities. Now, I don't have to be talking about why this is so, as we have the pandemic of the HIV and AIDS. There are an increasing numbers of orphans, and therefore resulting in child-headed households. Again, the number of diseases are increasing, the numbers of the elderly people also who are unwell, and as well as the rates of disabilities. We see those increasing. Within that context then comes the new ministry, and the new ministry's mandate as the country's central coordinating point for the advancement and the protection of the rights of women, children, and persons with disabilities. Now, you see, we've narrowed that mandate now, as we've understood, as it's derived from the proclamation. The new ministry's mandate is also to coordinate the compliance with the country's obligations under the international instruments. I think this becomes also very important to realize that we're not just ourselves alone as a country doing these things, but there are certain international obligations or international treaties for that matter that we have signed, which therefore obligate this government to be doing certain things, and there's a compliance in particular obligation as a country, as well as then in government, a need for a coordination point, which becomes then this ministry. This new mandate presents an opportunity for addressing the challenge of neglecting social justice concerns and marginalizing concerns for women, children, and persons with disability. In other words, then this challenge that we have been talking about of all within all of these things that I've been talking about, which are social justice concerns, there is an opportunity for government to start to have a coordinated approach in actually addressing the challenges that I've been mentioning of the marginalized groups. And I think the committee is right to be concerned then about all marginalized groups, not just this marginalized group. What then becomes the vision? And I want to say that this vision is stated very broadly. We've already received feedback, and we are actually changing, or will be changing, the vision. But if I can just point out, the vision becomes a dream towards a better society, and should be stated in a positive way. And you will see that this one, even as I read it now, is still not quite there. But the good thing about visioning is that it becomes a shared vision. You cannot have an visioning session that becomes your vision only. It becomes a shared one, which we are consulting yourselves about. And I can just let you know that the way we stated it, again, comes from the fact that we didn't include all the marginalized group. So to talk about a fully inclusive society, free from unfair discrimination, abuse, and exploitation, the feedback that we have received is that the vision must be stated in a positive way that actually talks about the dream of what you want to have in the near future. But the statement that qualifies it underneath there talks to achieve this envisaged inclusive society, the ministry or department will operate as a coordination point for planning. I mentioned the coordination for policy guidance, and there comes a very important part, I think, for the portfolio committee and the tracking of the progress on the development and empowerment of women, children, and persons with disabilities through mainstreaming equality concerns and implementing measures to empower and advance these groups. You could say that within that statement also lies the mission statement, but I think we would need to unpack that a little more, Chairperson. The ministry then has got in the strategic trust, we've got to answer key strategic questions. And these are the questions which I believe we will want, you will want as the portfolio committee with oversight role to actually concern. Do we believe that the ministry should have a basic or strategic needs approach? Our sense is that you probably need to have both. Because if you want to have a basic needs approach, it is said that in your beginning years, you may be concerned with those issues, but the strategic needs approach means that you're going to have a program that is actually that will have a much bigger impact. In terms of the department, we really want to be thinking more about the primary versus a secondary level service delivery. I think I need to talk a little bit more about primary versus the secondary level service delivery. We're talking about if, for instance, we were the Department of the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission has a role towards other departments, telling other departments what they should be doing. They don't have a service delivery component of their programs. In other words, they don't go out to the person out on the field or the local level to be saying, we do 1, 2, 3. They have a function within government towards other government departments. And then there will be other departments, for instance, that have a service level delivery model, namely, for instance, those that work with people. The rural development has got beneficiaries out there in the communities who benefit from the services of government. Now, we need to understand these two roles because from them will come a particular service delivery model. And I think we want to ask the question, in terms of what you understand us to be doing, what is it that you believe this ministry and hence this department should be responsible for? Linked to that is also the whole question of, are we an oversight? Now you're hearing oversight as well as the parliamentary committees which have an oversight. Have we got an oversight or an implementation focus as the department? And in thinking through these questions, and in thinking through the different roles of the portfolio committee, I think we will need to be addressing on the understanding very carefully what then the implications would be if we are an oversight department and then if we are an implementing department. Because don't let's forget, we've got the minister, one minister, with no MECs in the other provinces. The work that the ministry is responsible for at a political level still resides within the premier's offices. We do not have MECs, but then there are certain things that we believe need to be done in order to address this. And we were talking later on about catalytic projects. And I think this is a question that, Chair, you will need to interrogate very carefully. Because if you are expecting the department to be implementing certain programs, then structurally there are certain things that would need to be changed as well. I just pose the question for now. The important point is then to say we need to recognize the fundamental role of the ministry and the relationships that it has to have with other government departments, the Chapter 9 institutions, other organs of civil society, including the private sector. The very point that we were talking about vis-a-vis the National Youth Development Agency. What then becomes the relationship between this department or this ministry and those other Chapter 9 institutions? Another one is the Commission on Gender Equality. What then becomes the relationship between the department and this other Chapter 9 institutions. I can go on. If we talk about children's rights and the enforcement of those children's rights, what becomes the role of the NPA, the relationship between the department and the NPA and other Chapter 9 institutions. I think that within the service delivery model is also a partnership model that we have got to be forging as we go ahead. I thought that I would pose those questions because we have been interrogating them, and I think that my colleagues and I will want to give you some of the answers, but I think just to put them on the table because they are very, very important as we have been consulting. Sorry. So the approach then that we are preferring is that we need an inclusive development and service delivery agenda. This is the one thing that this department, if you have a small department like we have, it means you're going to have a man and lean center, but your work is going to have to be done in partnership, and you have got to have an inclusive development and service delivery agenda that tries to say, how then do you forge relationships? What are the institutional arrangements that you put in place to be able to deliver on your mandate? And this becomes a key approach concern that we have. Within that, then, we have developed what we understand to be the strategic implementation framework. This implementation framework, as I mentioned earlier on, means that the programs must be developed for all the strategic priorities as are recommended in the MTSF. So that's why I said we need to unpack that document, because in it will lie those strategic priorities. And I don't want to go through all those 10 strategic priorities. They were also fleshed out by the President in his State of the Nation address. But when you look at all of those priorities then, it just does mean for a small department like us that we are going to have to sequence and phase in the various programs, taking into consideration available resources. It does not mean that we will be able to do everything, but we are going to have to get involved in some prioritization. And we are going to have to find creative ways of involving development finance, the private sector, and civil society. In other words, I'm hoping that we will not come back to this committee saying, oh, we couldn't do it because we didn't have capacity. But we're going to have to find creative ways of involving other partners with us. And there are lots of partners. Development finance is a very important partner, the private sector, and the civil society. But in all of this, the priority that we believe we should be giving to transforming the societal values and the institutions in line with the constitutional vision of equality, non-sexism, and human rights in the manner in which we work. Within that framework then, we have identified, Chairperson, a number of strategic objectives over the MTF. Now I'm talking about just the three years. I think that it is safe to say we started to think ourselves into what would be the core functions and therefore what would be the core strategic objectives of the department. And I want to just put those on the table then. The first one is to protect and promote human dignity, equality and freedom of women, children, persons with disabilities. We've added the older persons. You can see our bias already. We want to see that there's a different role that we should be playing in addition to what social development is doing. Because those people are also, as we said, the disadvantaged groups. We don't call them vulnerable groups, by the way. We've chosen to steer away from the word vulnerable. Because it conjures up different meanings for different people. We understand that our core strategic objective is to create an enabling environment for equality, for empowerment, advancement, and socioeconomic development for these groups. We also, as I said, discussed strategic objectives to advocate for an inclusive society. In other words, we see the role of advocacy as still being very key for the work that the department will be doing. We need to be playing a preventive role as well to prevent and eliminate all forms of unfair discrimination against women, children, persons with disabilities, and older persons, and to play an oversight and coordinate implementation of projects, says projections, that's a mistake, projects and programs through monitoring and evaluation. The oversight function means that we've got to be developing some measures for checking or making sure that the implementation is actually happening. But I think that we are saying there is a need to implement certain projects, Chair, and we are calling those the catalytic projects, those projects that fall between the cracks, not because the other departments won't do them, but because the other departments in their mandate are not expected to do them. The example, for instance, that I can mention in this regard is a project which Mr. Shabalala will be talking to us about, Ukuthwala. Ukuthwala is not something that, for instance, as a catalytic project is being addressed by any one of the government programs. Therefore, we are taking it on as a catalytic project, implementing a program through which we will prevent the girl children from being made into somebody's wife at the age of 12 years. Now, 12 and 14 and 15, that takes it to the youth as well that you were talking about just now. Within those strategic objectives, we've also identified contextual strategic objectives. Those are the things that we must do in the context. Remember I talked about the context earlier on, that we must fix in order for us to succeed as a department. We need to mobilize, strengthen and support relations with local, regional and international partners at all levels. Some people say, in fact, that one can be named a core strategic objective. We've called it contextual because it is in the context of these regional and international treaties that I've mentioned earlier on that we'll do our work. Another contextual strategic objective is to exert influence on government structures to address issues of targeted groups. In other words, we have a responsibility to influence or cause other government structures to do likewise. We cannot sit back if we see that, for instance, certain departments are violating or they're formulating legislation that is contrary to the marginalized groups that we are talking about. The context within which we have the work, therefore, must change. The departments must see, government structures must address those issues of the targeted groups. So within that, for instance, we could be developing scorecards to actually make sure that they do what it is that they should be doing. We need to strengthen, broaden, and enforce legislative mechanisms and regional and international instruments. That is self-explanatory, and I think it becomes a very, very important contextual strategic objective. Chairperson, we are still a department in the government, and therefore there are certain supportive strategic objectives that we must play. We must provide the executive authority with high-quality strategic support, like all government departments. We must ensure that there is accountability and compliance to applicable legislative instruments, the PSMA, and all these other regulations. We must commission and facilitate appropriate and relevant research for policy development and implementation. To the researchers in the room, we don't claim to be the ones who will be doing the research, but we are saying we will commission and we will facilitate appropriate and relevant research then for our policy development and implementation. We will design, implement, and facilitate programs and interventions that are relevant to the needs of the target groups. There we are talking about the catalytic programs. We will design some of them, we'll implement some of them, we'll facilitate some of the programs and interventions. To continue with the supportive strategic objectives, we will develop and implement proactive communication mechanisms that respond to the interests and aspirations of the women, children, and persons with disabilities. Again, the development there is in a facilitative way to tell people what the ministry is all about. I think the ministry is still new, as we all know. We will need to develop communication strategies to inform people. Likewise, we will develop and maintain efficient information and knowledge systems. We'll provide financial management and administration that supports the department's objectives and mandates. We'll provide quality, efficient, and comprehensive legal services to the executive authority and the department. We'll be coming to Parliament with some legislation that will need to be tabled in front of Parliament, and we will require the assistance from members. In terms of the programs then, Chairperson, we are required to develop project structures, even for National Treasury requires us to do that. As part of our strategic plan and part of finalizing our MTF, we have had to develop programs. And for now, we have 4 programs that we have requested funding for. The first program is administration. It's common. With all government departments, you have to have a program called administration under which you pay your minister, you pay your people, that is obvious. Then we have a program that is dedicated to women, which we are calling Women Development Empowerment Programs and Gender Equality. That is the program under which the issues of gender and women will be located. Then we will have a program called Child Protection and Development Programs, and as well as the programs for persons with disabilities. For now, those are the 4 programs under which we have developed the strategic plan. And as I said earlier on, if we are instructed to include older persons, of course, we will include programs for that, but we're going to have to interact very carefully with the social development to understand what role, so that we're not tripping over toes, we're taking over other people's functions. Chairperson, I'd like to end there for now. If we want to talk about the targets, which you have set as well, I'm going to be asking to pause for now and ask the different programs to actually unpack those priorities and those targets that we have set ourselves for the MTF. But I thought for now we would end there because of the discussions that we're still wanting to have. And in ending, Chair, I'd like to say that we are not going to be developing a strategic plan that is full of a lot of targets. I have learned in my life as a public servant that the best way to get yourself beaten on the head by a portfolio committee is to develop 50 strategic objectives, and then come and say, not achieved. We're coming with 4 stiff ones. And then the other things that we work with will be how we operationalize the strategic plan. And those are the things that officials can do and monitor in their offices. But for your purposes, Chairperson, I think that you are only interested in 4 strong and cross-cutting strategic objectives, and they come from the core strategic objectives, and that's where we have set our main targets. And as I said, the programs will be talking to their chairperson. I'd like to pause there at this stage, Chairperson, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Vio. I am tempted to say that we have to briefly ask questions after your presentation. Before making my bite, can I hear what members have to say? Yes, I recognize your hand. The second one is Kiki.
Thank you, Chair, and through you to the Acting DG, thank you for a very good presentation. I like the fact that you've come up with 4 programs. You're obviously wise, you're experienced, so I think that is good. We're going to be able to work together. But I just want some clarity on one issue. I think I used the term vulnerable, and you said that you no longer use that, and I think you said you were using the term disadvantaged. Is that correct? or what was the term you were using instead of vulnerable?
I use targeted groups.
Targeted groups. Mm. All right. Can I just say why I use the word vulnerable in a particular context that I think is relevant? I think, for example, of some of the elderly. And I know of homes where people are not traditionally disadvantaged, but they are vulnerable because of their age, their weakness, and so on. And you sometimes find that the people are preying on them, and that this is something that we need to look at. Some of the old age homes where people are not being looked after properly. So that, in that context, I was thinking of vulnerability of older people, in the same way that children have to be looked after by adults who can still think well for themselves and so on, but that, you know, the elderly or the older persons in some cases really do have a problem where they're preyed on financially and, oh, well, various other ways. But thank you for that.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Acting DG. You could see the Acting DG is passionate about this department. I'm sure it's going to improve the lives of the women out there. But there's something that I needed to get clarity on, Acting DG. I needed clarity on the issue of the departments. Is the ministry only going to have a department at national level, not at provincial level? Because there are ministries that have no MECs in the provinces, like water, energy, I think is one of the, but they do have departments in various provinces. So, because the work will be very difficult for the national department in all the provinces, unless there are departments in all the various provinces. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be a bit short. I won't be long. I think I would like to thank the DG, the acting DG, for this very comprehensive presentation she made. And what I'm actually looking at is when it comes to our gender focal points, I'd like the DG that just to touch on it, because if we do have them in departments, and we do have it at the provincial level within departments itself, you know, how are they being used, that assets that they have? Then when it comes to page 10, where I'm looking at departmental strategic objectives, the contextual, where you spoke to exert influence on government, number two. And you spoke to the scorecard. You know, one example would be a scorecard. Now, there I'd like to ask the question, a lot of work was done by the Department of Public Service and Administration. And when it comes to performance agreements, there's the 8-point principles that government have in place. You know, how are you putting in the work that department did and the 8-point principles? Then the other question that I would like to ask is on page 8, where you speak about inclusive development and service delivery agenda. A person can understand development, but what do you mean when it comes to service delivery agenda? Because when a person looks at the front pages, then, you know, your role seems to be more oversighting departments. Then when a person comes to those questions you ask, a person agree with you have to implement to. But, you know, what is a service delivery you're speaking about besides the projects? Thank you.
Before you answer, TG, I think as a committee we need to be very clear as to whether this department is going to oversight or implement. You know, we don't want, I see the way you put it, oversight versus implementation. We just want to be clear, are you oversighting or are you implementing? And also perhaps this is not the right time, you will come back to us where you would be explaining as to how we are going to do these core strategic objectives. When you talk about you are going to protect and promote human dignity, we would want to understand as to how are you going to do that. It's good that you are going to do it, but we want to know how are you going to do it. Yeah, and most of your objectives, we would just want to know how. But you cannot answer now. You will come back because it will take a lot of time. But there are just a few questions. You can answer those that you have been asked and whether you will be implementing or playing oversight. Thanks, Fana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members, for those questions. I think the first one for Madam Robinson, if I got the name right, the vulnerable groups. I think we've been interacting with groups in my previous department. They called the programs for, they had a strategic, what's called objective for vulnerable groups. And I came to this department, that was the first thing that hit me. People say, these vulnerable, it has a disempowering kind of connotation to it. You are vulnerable, you are weak, you are this. You rather talk about, we are targeting these groups, and these are the targeted groups, but you want to empower them. And in the language that you were using, it also must convey that. So that's why we're steering away from vulnerable groups. The issue that was mentioned, I think, by I know it's Kiki, but I thought I didn't get the surname right. No, thank you very much. Yes, we do speak with a lot of passion. All of us are involved in this work. I think they chose some very good people. But the point here is that, yes, I think that there is a sense in which we believe that the work must be strengthened at provincial level. But structurally, the way things stand right now, it's not like this. And I know that there are other government departments which have a national department, but they will have something like conservation, for instance, and then you get those ministries residing within that. For now, I think for us, we are saying, yes, there are the gender focal points, there is this work residing and having a home in the Premier's office. But we are understanding from the provincial colleagues that it for them is not a good thing to have it like that because you have the one gender focal person who is responsible for everything. And we are concerned about how does Umama, that lady right there selling fat cooks on a daily basis, doing things for themselves, and that child, how do you reach them then? How does the arm of government or the programs of government reach that person? And that is the question. That's why I said we must consider it, because it is not good for the programs to really reside in high places in government, in the union buildings. They need to feel there has to be this reach. And that is part of why we ask the question for now. We're saying there are implications, Chairperson, the question that you a raising of oversight and implementation. We believe that the oversight is going to be a key function that we play. We don't have the hands and feet to reach everybody right now, but we recognize that there is a need for intervention. There are some things, projects that we have to implement, and that's why I talked about we need to find creative ways of implementing those. For now, we are saying we will identify, and the minister has been quite strong in saying this, she has identified projects which we can call catalytic projects, which we hope will result in other government departments
or other spheres of government or other partners, in fact, taking on, you know, the role of working with us and partnering with us and implementing further. But we don't have the capacity at this stage. And if we were asked to implement, unlike the department, we would have to have a bigger structure. We would have to have a bigger budget to be able to do this. For now, we're saying we have got to find a way of cutting the seat according to the cloth or the need that we have. The need is vast, but we will have to choose very carefully so that we do not have this competition over limited resources or tripping over toes, if you like, with other government departments saying, but that's our role and that's not your role. And the service delivery agenda, I'm saying that we do want to deliver those services. It is an agenda of government. It's a noble agenda of government. We are part of government. We are going to have to do that, but we will have to have projects. But I don't believe that we can have projects that are big, that are of a bigger scale. Maybe we will pilot certain things, and maybe we will show the way in doing certain things, and then we will lead the other government departments. So we'll play a facilitating role, if you like. The example of the DPSA and the point, the 8-point priorities, I think, principle. I haven't looked at those 8-point principles, but I can just give an example on, for instance, this issue of the 50-50 parity. They have already been saying by 2009 we want to see certain things happening in government, a 50-50 representation. What I haven't heard, so we will join forces with them. But what I haven't said is, what are they going to be doing if they find that this 50-50 parity doesn't exist? We want to come at much more strongly as this department and say, we're going to put the legislation in front of government, in front of this portfolio committee, in front of government, and pretty soon too, to say, we would like to see this 50-50. What's going to be happening? What's the carrot for those that are doing it, and what is the stick for the ones that are not doing it? So we'll find a way of making sure that these things start to bite now. We've been paying lip service to them and not doing much about that. And I think you can help us along in fashioning exactly what this should be, how this should be done. The actual oversight and implementation role then, Chairperson, sits within this kind of thing. As I said, we want to get your advice because we do not want to come back next year to you and say, but we could not implement these projects. Because you're going to say, but you said we're going to implement. So we're going to be selective in what it is that we'll implement, and we will continue to play the oversight role because we believe that it is very, very important. We have started to unpack the strategic objectives, Chairperson. We've got the unpacked strategic objectives with targets. We have them now. That's why I said the programs will be in a position to unpack them. We have a sense of what is the first thing that we will do this year now without a budget? What is the sense of what we will do in the next financial year and the financial years during the MTF? And that's what sits in our strategic plan. It's what I call the work that is unpacked in the blockies. I just focused for now on an overview and the strategic focus of where we are going. Because I think it is when you've understood that it becomes easier to operationalize the rest of the strategic plan. So we've got that. We will be able to talk to that as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Rio. I see how we've got group discussions. Perhaps in those discussions, it's where we should discuss what Vuyo has been presenting. Then we would come back and, you know, put forward as to how we have discussed those. Thanks. Could we then go to the groups? I don't know how we are going to group ourselves. Sorry? What about that? Am I catching the old one? so she present. Or then afterwards we'll go. The National Youth Agency is around. Could you just introduce yourself first, and then after that you can get into your presentation? I think it would be better to come up this way. Isn't that a better place to sit there? Oh. Oh, there. Oh, they can use this one. Agency, what is the hassle? Members, we all have this document. Are we fine now? You just kindly introduce yourself first so we can understand who you are. And in your presentation, you've got to move slightly faster than you would have done. We are running a bit late.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for inviting us to be able to come here today to come and present our plan, our strategy as the National Youth Development Agency. The team which is there, we've got Kuku, Sinjane, who's part and parcel of the NYDA at the strategic level. We've got Poli Samakeleni, who's a board member. Yes, Kuku, next to me. We've got Poli Samakeleni. She's sitting on other side at the back. She's part and parcel of the board. She's part of the board members of NYDA. We've got Baba Shobane, who's sitting next to Polisa, who's our parliamentary liaison officer. Andile Lungisa, who's the chairperson of the National Development Agents. We'll be doing our presentation, I think, for the first time after the elections here in Parliament. I know before the election, we have managed to come here in Parliament. Thank you very much.
Yes,
no, I'll be around. Yes. We can stop talking. In terms of our presentation, those are the areas which we are going to touch, which are seven areas. The NYDA, I think we understand that it was a process which was started in Parliament last year. And then the bill was passed by Parliament in December, which it was signed into law on the 6th of February by the President of the Republic. After February, the 6th of February, the board was then appointed based on the recommendation that was sent by Parliament to the President in May. And then on the 16th of June, the NYDA was then launched by the President of the Republic, which it is a merger of two institutions, Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the Youth Commission, which the NYDA is guided by the strategy which was developed by young people of this country and the National Youth Convention in 2006. Also, it is guided by the youth policy, which was also developed by the young people, which was adopted by the last cabinet before the election, which, if we'll talk about the youth policy, is also guided by the African Youth Charter, which has been ratified by our own government as part of the African Union, which the African Youth Charter is also guided by the World Youth Development Goals, which is part of the United Nations of 2000, which were also part of the UN. As South Africa, but solely also the mandate of NYDA derives its own existence, also the mandate from the Act 54 of 2008. In terms of the vision of the NYDA to integrate and mainstream youth development in all organs of state, private sector, and civil society for sustainable livelihoods, that's the vision. The purpose is to mainstream and integrate youth development for sustainable livelihoods. That's the responsibility of this institution. The nature of our business is to initiate, facilitate, implement, coordinate, and monitor youth development interventions aimed at reducing youth unemployment and promoting social cohesion. That's our nature of the business of the new institution, which we have to do. The objectives of NYDA, which are captured in the youth policy, which are also captured in the Act, is to develop an integrated youth development plan and strategy for South Africa, which what we're presenting now, it forms part and parcel of the strategy we've addressed that first objective. Develop guidelines for the implementation of an integrated national youth development policy and make recommendations to the President. It's what we have to do because we develop guidelines in making sure that at the policy level, the President can guide. Our mandate is also to initiate, design, coordinate, evaluate, and monitor all programs aimed at integrating the youth into the economy and society in general. It's to guide, enforce, and facilitate economic participation and empowerment and achievements of education and training. Is also to partner and assist organs of state, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations, and community-based organizations on initiatives directed at attainment of employment and skills development. also to initiate programs directed at poverty alleviation, urban and rural development, and the combating of crime, substance abuse, and social decay among young people. Also establish annual national priority programs in respect of development, which is the strategy capture what we must be able to achieve annually. Also to promote a uniform approach by all organs of state, the private sector, and non-governmental organizations to matters relating or involving youth development, and to endeavor to promote the interest general of the youth, particularly young people with disabilities. Those are the objectives, core objectives, that we have to achieve at the level of NYDA. But if you go to youth policy, it captures a number of issues. You go to the Act, it captures a number of issues. You go to the African Youth Charter, it captures a number of issues. But these are the key. In terms of our development philosophy, our work will be aimed to redress the previous imbalances. We have to create equal opportunities, and we have to promote accessibility, transparency, and accountability of youth development programs. We're simply saying that we have to make sure that we work with all youth organizations. We have to be open, we have to be accountable, as we also account in Parliament in the standing committee. Our development philosophy will be defined by the following characteristics. We serve young between the age of 14 and 35. The major beneficiaries will be from the low-income households. And then we're saying that in the second point, in terms of our program, is going to cut across the spheres, irrespective of race, of color. It will be based in terms of the income of those families. It's where our special focus will be. Our programs will be structured according to key priorities, while others will be unstructured. And supported on merit and ad hoc basis. Develop partnership with stakeholders in government, civil society, and private sector. For instance, we're not saying they'll be structured, they'll be unstructured. What we're simply saying that in terms of the plan, as we went to a strategy workshop, as we're guided by the youth police, by the strategy, also by the act. But I think there'll be programs which are unstructured, where young people, they'll come up with proposal and say, we stay in the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal and Sing. We want to do farming. We want to make bricks. And then those maybe will be programs which are unstructured, which on annual basis will make sure that we've got a room where young people, they come up with their own initiatives based on their innovative, and then we'll have space where we can accommodate those programs. But in terms of the structures programs, we'll go later in terms of our presentation, in terms of our plans, in terms of our target, what are we going to do at the level of NYDA. And then adopt and application of standards of effective practice when making investment in new development projects. We're simply saying that the institution must be the best of the best. The systems that we must be used, it must be systems which are recognized, which are known. Is what we're saying in that aspect. In terms of the standard of effective, because we include clear and measurable organizational goals, effective management, preparation for livelihoods, youth transformation, measurable impact, youth partnership. We're simply saying that we'll make sure that we'll go under partnership with the government, with other sectors of civil society, including the private sector. Also, in terms of our impact, we'll make sure that our impact, it must be known, must be able at least to change their lives, must be able to change the face of youth development in this country. And then I think young people, they must be able to participate, they must be able to promote it. But we're also saying in terms of female, also the elder ones, they must also act as role models. It's what we're really saying on the transformation of youth. In terms of the key performance areas, the key performance areas, they are captured in terms of the Act, which have established the NYDA, which are six. But based on the youth policy, taking into account the youth policy and the African Youth Charter, we've added, which we've separated the others. For example, the first one, it could be economic participation. Well, I think in terms of the economic participation, young people, they must be integrated in the economy. They must be able to participate in the economy. They must be able to be mainstream in terms of cooperatives, in terms of those who want to start their own small SMMEs. They must be able to be assisted on issues of procurement policies. They must be assisted. I think young people, they cannot only be reduced on only on cooperatives where they must only pick up papers and so forth. They must be part of the mainstream. It's what we are saying in terms of the economic participation. The second one, it will be around about the education and skills development. That aspect that deals with education, we have already started also discussion with the Department of Education, but we are saying there also young people who have not passed matric, they must also be given a second chance where they can go maybe on 6 months program in order to be assisted. But we'll go to details late. But I think also we'll promote that young people during school hours. There must be a school. But there'll be a number of programs which will go a little bit late as part of our presentation on that aspect. The other aspect is the National Youth Service Program. Through the National Youth Service Program, we're saying the number of young people who have not passed matric, who have passed matric, who have struggled to go to institutions of higher learning, young people who have failed Standard 6, who have passed Standard 6, and then we're saying through the National Youth Service Program, it will be twofold, because others, they're part of the institutions of higher learning. But we're saying those who have not passed matric, who have passed matric, at least next year, which we're starting a discussion, even tomorrow will be here with the Department of Defense. We're saying young people, they must be put in all the army bases because there are facilities there, where they must be trained. Because I think based on the research that was conducted in South Africa, we are sitting at the time bomb. There are more than 6.2 young people in the whole country who are doing nothing, who are not part of the mainstream economy. We have no skills. And then we are saying as part of our targets, at least by next year, we must be able to target almost 500,000 young people and work with the Department of Defense in making sure that they are enrolled in all the army bases. They can be put in a period of a year. They can be trained on various issues, woodwork, metalwork, electricity, brickmaking, or a number of issues which they can be developed as artisans. It's what we're seeing next year, which we've started those plans, which have indicated, also have started the program with the Department of Education to say they must take more than 30,000 young people early next year, those who have not passed matric now. Those are the programs that we'll be doing on the National Youth Service Program. But we're saying the National Youth Service Program, also those who are at the universities, at least for a period of 6 months, if either they take a period of holidays, they must be able to go and do community service. Because there are a number of young people who come from Switzerland, who come from Norway, to Kukule, to Soweto, to our own townships. What we simply do as young people, we simply laugh and take them to joints on Friday, instead of taking what they are doing to work with them. And then I think we are going to promote that issue in South Africa, that young people, before they get degrees, their certificates, their diplomas, National Youth Service Program, it must be part of the competence. That's the program which we are saying is going to be comparable next year. Also, in terms of social cohesion, we are going to build the highest levels of understanding. Young people, they must understand where we are coming from as a nation. Where are we going as a country? What do we want to achieve? If you interview any young person, at least you must be able to speak with one voice. We must make sure that the issues of electoral process, they are promoted. Young people, they participate on ITPs. They participate on community meetings, on individuals, to the social cohesion. But we talk also, the fifth aspect is about information and communication. And then we're saying, when it comes to information and communication, they must be able to have access. In terms of the standards that we have, which we are still going to have in the country, if young people, they go to those standards, at least they must be able to get a serious information. They must get information about Parliament. They must get information about the opportunities which have been presented about by our democrats. They must get opportunity about bursaries. They must also be assisted there. They must be able to be counseled there. They must be able to be guided about what courses they want to take, what careers they want to pursue as they are moving forward. Well, I think that aspect, it must be one of the key issues, the one of information in the standards. But we're saying our standards, it must not be standards which are not structured. It must be standards when they get, they can have access to IT, they can have access to basic issues when it comes around about the issue of information. The other aspect, which is the sixth one, is police,
adopt an advocate. But I think the institution will have a responsibility. If we speak about any matter, we must be able to be guided in terms of our own policy documents, which we must be able to develop each and every position paper for each and every department. If we go to the Department of Minerals, we must be able to be clear to that department to say, one, that the participation of young people on issues of mines is where they can contribute. They can contribute to the level of research, on level of management, on procurement issues. They can also be assisted to own mines. It's what we are going to do in terms of the police. But I think it must be the best of the best. Because issues of young people, we talk about mainstreaming, we talk about integration, they cut across. And then I think through police, we must be able to have at least to develop. And then I think in terms of research, monitoring and evaluation. I think in terms of research, if we talk about young people, we talk about young people between the ages of 14 and 35. But those who are between the age of 14 and 21 up to 28 up to 25. They've got various interests. But I think through research, it must be able to tell us what are the programs that we must be able to target for a certain grouping within the structure, because the structure for those who are between the age of 14 and 21. It must be, because for instance, the ones who are between the 28 and 35, you'll find that some of them, others, at least if they're unemployed, they've got serious pressures, because also the issue of age is no longer on their side because they are about to exit. But the other ones, we find that others, they are teenagers, others, they are facing the challenges of teenage pregnancy. They are facing the challenges of drug abuse. Those are younger ones. In terms of our own research, it must be able to tell us, in terms of the programs, which must be able to focus. But the research, it must be able to tell us, how many young people do we have in South Africa? How many young people are unemployed? How many young people are in universities? How many young people are in junior secondary schools? It must be able to tell us. When we speak, we must not guess in terms of the sector. We must understand openly the sector which we are operating at through research. Through monitoring and evaluation, the Act which have established the NYTA give us powers to monitor all government departments, including Parliament. Once we know Parliament is the highest institution, it gives us powers. Each and every department must be able to ask in terms of the plans of departments, because what we are not going to agree with at the level of NYTA is where a department will develop programs whilst there are no youth issues. So I think each and every business plan is like as the municipal manager in the municipality, is the MEC, is the minister in all spheres. Whatever they develop, it must have youth priorities. It must have youth programs. Because based on the research which has been conducted in the last 2 years, the government in the last 15 years has spent less than 3% on youth development. We are saying at least we must be able to depart all government departments as part of their competence. If they are evaluated, they must be able to be evaluated of what they've done on youth development, if they are going to be given any bonus point, any issues. We are saying through monitoring and evaluation, we have to do that, which will also be guided by our own research. The last point, it should be around about effective and efficient management resources. So I think the institution which we are establishing, it must be the best of the best. It must be the number one institution. It must be the best run institutions, which it will be a unitary institutions from national, provinces, and local, which it must exist in each and every municipality. But I think the systems which we are putting, it must be the best and the best of system. In terms of the economic participation, when we go to target, we are saying 559,000 jobs will be created. We've classified how they are going to be created in terms of numbers, in terms of the microfinance, MSC lending, out of in terms of cooperatives. We are saying those are the targets. What are we going to assist in terms of loans? Also the target. We're saying based on our targets, we'll target especially young women, which we have to work closely with the Ministry of Women, with the Ministry of People with Disabilities, because we've got in our own sector, young women, they're the majority in our sector. Also in terms of the institutions which have collapsed, also we're saying young women, even the older women, because I think if we talk about young people who are in transit, whatever planning that we are doing, it must not be in isolation. It must, because we talk about mainstreaming, we talk about integration. Also, our programs must take that format, which will work closely with the new ministry that deals with women and young people with disabilities and children. Because even us, we start there. But we're saying in terms of our target, more than 60%, it will be young women. More than 65%, it will be young people from very urban areas. And then also from the rural areas, which also the Department of Rural Development is one of the institutions which we have to work with. As I've indicated earlier, that as early as January next year, we'll be targeting almost 35,000 learners who must be able to participate on the entrepreneurship program. But one of the discussions which we're taking with the Department of Education, I think the issue of entrepreneurship, it must be part of the curriculum. It must be there. As we are moving forward, we are building that base, that it must be part of the curriculum, especially for those who will be doing grade 8 up to grade 12. It must be integrated there. It must be part of the subject. It must be comparison. Because in order to grow the economy, we need people who have skills who can be able to start their own businesses. And then we're saying we'll also target a quite number of young people to assist them to be able to make informed choices. In terms of the National Youth Service Program, I did go to details, but they were talking about target. We'll be targeting almost 120,000 young people to work in the communities from now moving forward next year, in the next financial year. That's the number that we'll be targeting. And then we'll be having almost a number of workshops, not less than 5 workshops, so we'll brief a number of 6. And then we're also going to recruit more than 1,000 young people to be mentors, to be able to mentor. Because what we've noticed, we've been taking a lot of resources in terms of the due diligence report, also the report that we've conducted based on the institutions which have collapsed. We've noticed a lot of money has been going towards service providers. And then we're saying the work must be done within the NYTA. You must have sharpshooters, young people are trained to be mentors who can be able to do the work internally. And then I think we'll target those are the, for instance, in terms of the World Cup, on the Confederations Cup we participated. And then I think on the World Cup we'll also have more than 15,000 young people who must be able to participate. And then we're also saying we're going to target almost 99 projects in the community as part of the community projects, each and every municipality. We're saying as we move forward, each and every municipality is in the next financial year, at least we must be able to point our fingers and say there is a community project, a mega community project, besides the issue of funding individuals assisting young people. But each and every municipality, there must be a community project. In terms of the information and communication, based on the Act, because of the unitary start, and then we're saying we're going to have more than 71 YAC centers, which they've got full service. We're going to have 212 YAC points, and then we're going to have 15 mobiles. Each and every province will make sure that the big province will have 2. For example, we'll go to, if I'll make an example about the Cape Metro here in Cape Town. The metro, yeah. You'll find that it's got high population. We'll have a full yak maybe in town. But we'll find out there are big townships. And then we're saying we'll have a full service yak in town. And then we're saying in terms of the townships, we can identify maybe the Cape Flats, and then we have there a yak point, not with full service. But we'll find out that there are other areas which we must still service, Kukuletu, and other areas. And then we're saying we must have a mobile, which can be able to go to those townships, can be able to go to those rural areas. Because in terms of reality, there are 283 municipalities in South Africa. We're saying as part of our plan, each and every municipality must have a footing, must have an office. But in terms of reality, the municipalities, we go to the Eastern Cape, others, they are rural, they are very vast. We cannot have an office each and every municipality, but we'll have a YAC mobile, which can on daily basis identify those rural areas, go each and every rural area based on the program. But we're also saying in terms of our offices, the the functions which were talked about, they are going to be retained, because I think those offices, it must be not toothless offices. It must be offices when young people, they arrive on the spot, they get assisted. They must not be referred to other areas. At least on the ground, must have people who are going to really assist. But in terms of the marketing, it will be above the line, below the line. We'll use all the radio stations, including which the public broadcaster. We've met with the public broadcaster. We've indicated to the public broadcaster that it is not an issue of choice that they must partner with us. It must be the issue of must, that they must partner with young people in all the programs. The issues of young people, they must not come to television but through a favor. It must not be an issue of favor. It must be part of the public broadcaster. If they are evaluated by the National Assembly based on their work, they must be able to say, it's what we've done, it's what we're doing on youth development. I was saying we'll continue, because we're saying we understand that the issues of youth development, they still need to be advocated. They still need to be lobbied. But they still also to professionalize the youth work. It's what we're saying in all spheres of government, the private sector, also the organs of civil society, which we've touched in terms of the research, just the details. And then we've also touched on the customer service. So I think more than 90%, if people, they pick a phone call, they must be able to be assisted. Also, in terms of in all areas, young people, they must be able to be assisted. Also, in terms of the infrastructure that we must put in the country, where all young people, they'll be really trained. We've touched on the issue of that's our business approach in terms of business development, delivery, and aftercare. Because I think if we've assisted young people at the end in terms of exit opportunities, they must be able to be assisted in terms of our systems, which are going to put the HR, ICT, and then I think we're going to put systems where they are more coordinated, who can communicate easily. Young people, they can be part of the current issues when it comes to your youth mobiles, youth portals, and then they can communicate. Even young people in the rural areas today, in terms of reality, they've got at least cell phones. And then we're saying we're going to make sure that the NYDA is known, the government programs are really promoted. But we always put emphasis, if we talk about NYDA, it must be able to be understood in terms of its own mandate. The mandate of NYDA is to mainstream, integrate issues of youth development across the sphere. We are not a government. Government has to play its own responsibility, making sure that issues of youth development are implemented. Ours is to mainstream and integrate and make sure that issues of youth development are monitored. We're only going to do what is called specific youth intervention program, where we'll find that if there's a gap, is what we're going to do. What we're doing currently, we've got a head office which we're putting together, which we've collapsed on Sobombo and the Youth Commission, which will be moving towards Pretoria. We're still using the two buildings, the former building of the building of former Sobombo Fund and the building of former Youth Commission, which is in Pretoria. We're still using the separate building, but that's our head office. But in terms of our plans, we'll be moving towards Pretoria, where we're going to have everyone under one building. Which we've really concluded the issues of transitional process. All the staff, they are under NYDA now. And then in all provinces, almost current, more than six provinces, they've repealed their provincial acts, which we've been working at the level of NYDA. We'll be establishing the provincial advisory board, which we have one board. They're only going to advise the national board, which we're going to put the provincial administration. At the local level, as indicated earlier, that we've got 283 municipalities in the country. Each and every municipality are going to make sure that we've got a footing, which we have started where we had offices. We're changing those offices now to the NYDA offices local, which, based on the targets which I've indicated earlier, will go quickly in those municipalities. But we're saying our plan, will only complete our plan in the next 2 years of making sure that each and every municipality we've got an office. In the next 2 years, we're going to work around the clock and making sure that each and every municipality we've got office. But we're saying in provinces, our last date is the 1st of December from now until the 1st of December, each and every province must have provincial offices, because they are going to assist us to establish the local offices in the municipalities. In terms of the budget, which is the last aspect, for 2009 to 2010, it is the money that we've put forward requesting 2010-2011, which we've been persuaded, because we wanted at least not less than 2 billion for the first year. But I think the issues of recession, we have to take into account, because we're saying if you talk about young people, they are highly affected. If you talk about the total number of unemployed, they constituted the biggest number. It's what we're requesting. Siyabulela kakhulu. Siyabonga. Thank you very much.
It sounds so ambitious, but it's good. Can I slightly open so for questions of clarity? Otherwise, we will discuss in groups again. Just matters of clarity. I wish I was young again.
Thanks, Chair. I think you have took my words. I wanted to see you back to my youth.
This is thanks, Chairperson. Your budget shows that you are really going to work. Yeah. Because this is a fully fledged ministry. If you check the budget, it shows that you are ready to work. And I just wanted to rectify the DG, the acting DG, just assisted us with the correction in terms of people with disabilities. We have to say persons with disabilities. In your presentation, you said people with your disabilities. I think we have to correct that. And we've got these youth desks in the municipalities. I think it's good for now you also worked with them, because really speaking, we don't have programs that are related to youth, but we do have those officials who have been appointed, youth managers and other officials in the municipalities, but we don't see fully fledged projects that are related to youth. And I think with the volunteers that are going to participate in the World Cup, I think the total amount that the Department of Sports are looking is 15,000. So you have to make sure that at least 10,000 are from youth, because the total amount is 15 youth, including youth and other age groups. It's 15,000. So we have to make sure that at least 10,000 are from youth. Thank you very much.
Patty and Robinson, maybe you can get clarity on the issues that you wanted to understand. But for now, Martha.
Thanks a lot. I just thought I was not going to speak because I'm leaving it to the youth to do all the questioning. Just a question that I would like to ask, and I think it's something that we as committee have to think about too, because the command was in the presentation. The chairperson of the National Youth Agency that comes from the province that I come from and the same city too spoke to the oversight of National Parliament, you know, when it comes to the target grouping. And when it comes to National Parliament, we look at the separation. When it comes to Parliament, it comes to government, the separation of powers. So I think it's something that we'll have to look at, because Parliament oversight the departments, but who oversight the National Assembly or Parliament when it comes to these targeted groupings? Because a government department may not monitor or evaluate Parliament itself. Because Parliament makes laws. So I think that is something that we have to discuss somewhere. You know, who oversight the National Assembly? Thank you.
Get very deep into the, we'll do that in the group discussions. I just wanted us to get clarity on some of the issues.
Sorry. Thank you, Chair. I also just want to commend the Andile. I also come from the Eastern Cape originally, so I also want to claim credit for this enthusiasm and this tremendous ambition. It's wonderful. Yes, I'm very impressed by your deep thinking and everything that you have put into this. I just hope that we can get that budget. But what I'm really concerned about is education, and I think what we're doing within the existing educational system, that we can help here, our committee and yours as well, to make sure that the education, what's happening in the classrooms, is actually going to be efficient and beneficial. And if all that sort of thing happens, a large part of what you're wanting to do won't really be necessary. So, yes, we want to do all of those things, but I think if you can get to the youth and encourage the education, encourage that culture of learning, that would be wonderful. All right, enough of that for the moment. Thank you. But I commend you for your energy and your enthusiasm.
Thank you, Chair. I probably shouldn't be asking a question, but I am trying to understand something, really. And I want to commend the youth for having a budget. You're talking about programs even in this financial year of 980 million. This money exists. I just wanted to know, does it exist? Chairperson, we are really talking about the department. We're still talking about in the next financial year of 210, you will see in your package, page 20 of the strat plan, we are only talking about 188 million for next year. So do you have 900 million? Do you think you could give us some of that money for the work that we'll be doing with youth disabilities? I'm really envious. I want to know, is it really there, the money? How did you get it?
Thank you, Chair. I'm also excited about all these young people feeling excited about what they are about to do. I just want to maybe make a comment on the nature of business, if you can go back to that. You say they initiate, facilitate, implement, coordinate, and monitor youth development interventions aimed at reducing youth unemployment and promoting social cohesion. Maybe just to suggest that you add promoting youth education. You know, because, I mean, you say that you're aiming, and maybe just include that, because especially with regard to what my colleague said, Ms. Robinson, about education, that we own, that your aim is not only unemployment of youth, but also to promote youth education. It's just a contribution to maybe to the nature of the business.
Thanks, Patrick. Perhaps just to add a little, you have to also come up with a marketing strategy for this agency. It shouldn't be like the Abomsobuf. Very little, a few people knew about them. Even the Youth Commission, quite a few people knew about them. So you must come up with some type of a marketing strategy so that all the youth can tap into your resources. And also you need to come up with some way of, as the youth, of curbing corruption. You haven't said a thing about that. And I mean, it's the thing that seemed to be, you know, yeah, thanks. I think we'll discuss the rest of the things in our groups will still be around with us.
There was a clarity that we needed answers from earlier. And I'm a bit concerned that now the NYDA is here and we do not get that clarity. The clarity on the oversight that the portfolio committee is supposed to do, because they are now in the presidency. Are we, as this committee, supposed to do oversight over the NYDA? And also, I appreciate the enthusiasm. One hope that it's going to work, but I'm also concerned about that, also about that 930 million, because I don't know whether you have the budget already now, because the mid-year budget is only in October, and a few months down, it will be April and the end of the budget 2009 to 2010. But we need that clarity so that we are able to move forward.
That's what I said when I first spoke. You may raise issues of concern that you had. I thought perhaps you were comfortable, perhaps you went outside and got some answer somewhere. But with me, I just thought perhaps I will get them aside and ask them. But I did say, raise issues of concern that you had. But I think you've got, that is the main concern that the last speaker has just raised. And also they wanted to know, why are you now remaining in the presidency and not in the new ministry? What was the reason for that, if you could just understand that? Perhaps think
I would respond. I'll request Teboho to respond on other questions. We'll respond on that later one.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to acknowledge all the members and to thank you for all your contributions and the correction around the persons with disability. In terms of the questions that have been asked, particularly about the budget, you must remember that the NYDA comes out of a measure of two institutions that already had budgets themselves. The Msobongwe Youth Fund in this financial year had a budget of 480 million, and budget from the National Youth Commission, which was about 30 million. But the issues of young people are compelling, such that government is willing to engage us on a further budget. Secondly, because the NYDA is a new baby, so you do have to resource that new baby. So therefore, on that basis, we do believe that we will get the required budget when we go in September for the second, for the mid-year budget review. In terms of the issues around the oversight role, we have ourselves had a very long discussion around that as we were developing our strategy to say the Act is specific around the issue of regulation, that the NYDA has to regulate not only organs of state but also business and all of that. So how do you on one hand knock and say, I want you to be my partner, and then the next day you are going to regulate? So we have set as a target for this particular financial year to say that we will look at ways, right? We will come up with a recommendation as an outcome of this financial year to the president to say this is the best method that we think we can play that role. We acknowledge that it is a responsibility that has been given to us. It may be a difficult one to administer, so we will go back to the president or to Parliament and Cabinet with a recommendation to say the regulatory role should be located wherever based on the findings that we will undertake. In terms also of the marketing issue, we are aware of those issues, and we have had long discussions around that the chairperson is now meeting with the communications team on a bi-weekly basis to ensure that we step up on our marketing and that young people throughout the country are able to access us. The issue around the youth desks, we are targeting those youth desks. they are critical for our delivery because delivery happens at a local level. So we will be working directly with those youth desks. The National Youth Commission in its old days had a program that focused on working directly with youth desks and empowering the youth desk. So we are stepping up that youth desk program. The key role that we want to play in this year is to make sure that we massify all the programs that were implemented by the previous organizations based on the mandate of the NYDA. So that will also be linked to the issue around the marketing of the NYDA. The issue around curbing corruption, we did say something about crime. I think that we do need then, based on your point, to probably put emphasis also on the issue around corruption, because it's not explicitly mentioned, it's just crime in general. So we will look into that. I'm not sure if there's another question that I've left out, other than the one about whether we should be reporting to this committee, which the chairperson will respond to. Yeah.
Thank you very much. In terms of the act, it's very clear that we'll report to the committee. This committee, so we'll account also in terms of the plans. Also, the act is very clear that we must develop a youth integrated strategy and youth priorities, which it is a strategy which we've developed, which youth priorities are part of the strategy, which we're saying concluding our own state plan, we said we'll initiate a meeting with the portfolio committee in Parliament. This portfolio committee, which luckily, whilst we're busy doing that at the office on Friday, we received a communique that we must be able to come today and present our strategy, which it was an advantage on our side. But where we have to account here, why we are located in the presidency, not in the in the ministry or special sectors. It's what we've been advocating. We said issues of young people, they cut across the spectrum. We never agree with the notion of a ministry. Because we said if we put issues of youth development in the ministry, they'll be compromised. A ministry cannot antagonize another ministry. It must be persuasive to other ministries. And then we said, not in South Africa, based on the number of unemployed, based on the number of young people are unemployed because they constitute, if you talk about 70% of unemployed, the numbers of unemployed, more than 70% of the total number is young people. And then we said young people, they still need to be advocated at the highest office in the land, which is the president. At least they can be advocated, which also they will incorporate what you said, Mamucha Pasen, Yoba. The issues of marketing, the location is very still critical. That's why we are still in the act, also in our plans. We still retain the issue of advocacy and lobbying because we are saying we have not arrived in South Africa like when we visited London, Britain, where issues of young people, they are no longer advocated. They are part of the system. When people, they plan, they know that there are young people who must plan for them. In South Africa, we still have a problem where people they need to be told when you are doing planning, you must incorporate young people. If you go to Britain, people they are not told. They know there's a new generation. If you are doing planning, you must prioritize. In South Africa, we still advocate whatever plan municipal manager are doing, you must put young people. That's why we said it must be located in the presidency, but it accounts to the portfolio committee in Parliament because Parliament deals with the oversight, the overall oversight of the country, of government. We must still be there. Also, the National Assembly must still enforce through other portfolio committees in all sectors. That is the issue of special group, which young people, they are also a special group. It must be prioritized in all committees, which we know this portfolio committee is strategically located because it becomes a super portfolio committee other portfolio committees, because issues that come from this portfolio committee cut across in all other portfolio committees. Other portfolio committees, they cannot complete their plans without this portfolio committee. Because if you talk about special sectors, they are here. That's why we said, no, we account here. We are in the president. And then we said, when there was
that the issue where we had a discussion quickly with the president, where it was announced that the youth is there. We said, no, 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 youth cannot be there. Because that was a process which was initiated by National Assembly, by Parliament, that there must be NYTA, two institutions must be collapsed. Yes, it's better to have other sectors there, which will work with those, with the ministry, almost 24 hours in terms of our own programs, because we'll work closely with the ministry. But we said, if we can be a ministry, you'll go to Department of Sport, young people, they'll be told, no, you've got a ministry. You go to mining, young people, they are told, they've got a ministry.
Yeah.
We said, no, they will be undermine issues of youth development if we put it in the ministry, because we have not arrived where we must have a ministry. We can have a ministry when things are very nice, high levels of unemployment among young people, they are not there. The issues of skills challenges, they are not there. You can start to zoom it. The issue of ministries, where issues are mainstreamed, it's what we said. Obvious, I know it becomes a broader discussions also on other levels. It can be taken up to clarify other issues. But really, it's our view and moving forward. But they've also raised an important aspect here, which the book has also touched on marketing. And then we said, in terms of the new institution, each and every young people, all corners in rural areas, it must be a known institution. I think as one of the campaigns which are going to take up at the end of October, the youth day. Because I think issues of youth development, people, they think it's only June 16.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is put there.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no June, there's nothing. If people, they plan for June, it's youth month, as youth day. And then I think we'll have days where we'll say the day on youth development, where we create awareness. When we create awareness, we make sure that each and every corner, each and every street, each and every township, each and every rural areas where we have young people as volunteers, make sure that the institution is highly marketed. It must be known. And then I think it must be the institution which must have mega projects. That's why in terms of our own budget, we have been going to budget and treasure, which we are also looping the standing committee to be on our side. That is the budget which we've already submitted. It must be the budget which must be given. Because our limitation is that we're still young, energetic. We do not have more patience about other processes. If we have submitted the budget, we expect you, like, if you take your child, you go to a shopping center to a shop. If your child sees a chocolate or a stock legger, that child cannot really change for other things. He wants the stock legger, so we like that. In terms of the budget, is how we are really appealing and requesting. Thank you very much.
No, thanks. I don't know, but I think that assists us so much. They are located in the presidency, but they still account to the committee. So it makes things so much clearer for us. Because we are better, you know, takes away those fears that we have. But as you are here, where are you based? Where are you based? Mpuma kuphi njobani?
Now we're based. What we're doing? The acting CEO and the chairperson. We use two buildings. We rotate the building in Pretoria, which was used by the Youth Commission, and then the building in Midrand, which was used by the Msubumf. Because we still have part of the staff on one building, also part of the staff on another building. But in terms of integration, we've seriously integrated the top management of the two. But the both buildings, they cannot accommodate all the personnel. We have to move to a new building. That's why we are more doing the rotation. We are using two buildings currently. But there was a question which I think we have not responded to. The one which talks about the nature of business, which it says we must incorporate education. Yes, it is an important point, but in terms of the social cohesion, is captured in the full document, the full, not just the presentation, the full document, where we deal with details. It is captured the promotion of education, what are we going to do on educational matters. I think it's part of the package, but if it's not part of the package, we'll make sure that the same committee, they get the detail integrated strategy, not only the presentation, because the presentation deals with more of the core issues. It does not go into detail. Thank you.
I don't know, but I would suggest that we have tea and then go to group discussions. And I think we are about an hour late, but it won't kill us to leave at 5 instead of 4. I don't think we will moan about that. So can we have tea for now? Thanks. Yes.
Sorry, Chair, just because you talked about going to the groups, and also my friend over here did talk about what you have. I just wanted to alert members that you do have, in addition to the presentation, the PowerPoint presentation, a draft strategic plan as we've got it now. It runs into quite a few pages. If you look at that, just so that people can flip through those, the presentation includes as well the budget. It includes the what do you call them? The blocks. I'm saying the presentation, yes, we sent it last week. I sent the PowerPoint presentation, and with that comes as well all the other programs unpacked. Remember we spoke about the programs, and we said we would unpack the activities and how it would.
Okay, I'll start by the name of the committee was Joint Monitoring Committee on Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women. And number two, we've got the functions of committee, and I'll just go through to it. To monitor and evaluate progress with regard to the improvement in the quality of life and status of women in South Africa, with specific reference to the government's commitment, point one, to the Beijing Platform for Action, and with regard to the implementation of the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, and to any other applicable international instrument, e.g. SADC Declaration on Gender and Development. The committee may make a recommendation to both or either of the houses or any joint or house committee on any matter arising from paragraph 8 or B. The committee had oversight responsibility over the Office on the Status of Women and the government departments, because the committee is a monitoring committee. And then I'll move to, this legacy report is from 2004 to 2008. The committee to that period had 54 meetings, and I won't go to each and every one, and then we'll skip to number. Okay, we'll go to number 7, the legislation. The committee didn't deal with any legislation because it was just a monitoring committee. And there were 7 visits, oversight trips that were undertaken under that period. And the venues and the members participated are listed there. And number 9, study tours undertaken. There were no study tours that were taken under that period from 2004 to 2008, and also no international agreements were referred to the committee. The challenges, we go to number 13. The committee had few challenges to exercise over its mandate. One of the challenges was that the committee has been allocated Fridays to hold its meeting, and the committee could not meet with the quorum and couldn't meet in some instances. And since it was the committee from both houses, the commitment of NSOP members and provincial legislators made the committee not to meet. And there was only one outstanding issue under this committee, that was the meeting between the committee and the CGE regarding the suspension of the CGE CEO. And the reason for that meeting for not to happen was that last year the committee, priority were given to committees who were dealing with legislation, and we could not
had a slot to meet so that we can discuss that issue. Thank you. And I'll just go through to the other JMC, which Nelisha was supposed to be presenting, but I'll just go through it and read it. Sorry. Joint Monitoring Committee on Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Children, Youth, and People with Disabilities. The functions of the committee. The committee is established in terms of the Joint Rule 128 to 132 and 132A to 132E of Parliament in terms of Rule 132D of the Joint Rules of the Committee. The oversight and monitoring role. The committee has an oversight and monitoring role on the following sectors: Office on the Status of Disabled Persons, Office of the Rights of the Child, National Youth Commission, Msobomvu Youth Fund, Office on the Status of Disabled Persons, and the role of the office is to exercise the monitoring role over the government departments in terms of service delivery to persons with disabilities. Office on the Rights of the Child. The role of the office is to exercise the monitoring role over the government departments in terms of service delivery to children. National Youth Commission. The role of the office is to exercise the monitoring role over the government departments in terms of service delivery to youth. Umsobomvu Youth Fund. Major trust is to focus on facilitating access to exit opportunities and linkages to opportunities. And the committee had 75 meetings from 2004 to 2008. And we go to the legislation. Processing of legislation does not fall within the mandate of the committee. And the list of the oversight trips were the oversight trips were listed there under the legislation. And then we move to study tours undertaken. From 22 to 26 September 2006, the committee went to Geneva on Interparliamentary Union, international agreements, and I just read as the title, the date that was considered, and the date that was published on the ATC. And the type of agreement was the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and its optional protocol and explanatory memorandum to the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and its optional protocol. And it was considered by the committee on the 25th of May 2007, and the report was published on the 26th of May 2007. And the African Youth Charter, it was considered by the committee on the 23rd of January 2009, and the report was published on 5th February 2009. Statutory appointments. The finalization of nominees to serve on National Youth Commission was done on the 2nd of June 2006. And the date was published on the ATC was 26 June 2006. Challenges relating to the committee exercising of its mandate. The major challenge faced by the committee was that the committee was allowed to meet on Fridays. This made it difficult for committee members to attend the meetings as members had to leave for their constituencies. It also made it difficult for the committee to form quorum when decisions were required to be taken. Secondly, committee meetings that could not take place due to the sitting of the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces houses in terms of parliamentary programs. The outstanding issues. One is the provincial visit of other provinces which were not visited by the committee. Secondly, public hearings on accessibility of public transport to persons with disabilities. The committee to host a summit in Durban
The objective of the summit was to engage with provinces to identify mechanisms for monitoring systems and structures with respect to children, youth, and persons with disabilities. The committee intended to invite premiers, provincial speakers, disability desks, children's desks, and provincial legislatures. The fourth one is the engagement with civil society on matters pertaining to disability, children, and youth. The briefing by the Office on the Rights of the Child on the second and third country report on United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child due to the NUCRC Committee. Briefing by Africa Decade on Disability on its activities. Briefing by the Department of Public Services and Administration on the progress by government departments in meeting the 2% target for employment of persons with disabilities. Briefing by UMSOBO on Youth Fund on annual report for financial year 2007-08, hosting disability in Durban. Thank you.
Members, we have listened to the legacy report. Are there any questions of clarity? There wouldn't be much, I suppose, because I'm sure you would take it that you were not part of it, but I'm sure you could engage on some of the issues.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to indicate to members, myself and Crystal worked with Ayanda and Neliswa, with the committee secretary to the JMC. But just to pull out some of the issues around challenges for the JMC, which I sat on, which looked at children, youth, and persons with disabilities, was one, when we did the SAT plan for the committee last year, and we looked retrospectively what the committee had done, we had noticed that because they didn't stick to the SAT plan, that sometimes they only focus on a particular issue, which was pet issues of particular members. So there was a clear need to say, how do you balance the time you dedicate to all target groups? The second thing was that often there was so much work that members were doing in constituencies and in other committees, but that was never brought back to the committee. So with the result, that amazing work was lost, because then on the ATC it would seem that the committee had only focused perhaps on six things, when in actual fact individual members were taking up pertinent issues into other committees. The third thing was that there was very little time for conferral, which is a lost opportunity, because there are opportunities according to the rules which says committees can confer, come together around a particular issue so that you create critical mass, as opposed to calling the same department every 2 weeks for the same issue. The fourth thing was that the thing around the structures, whether it's national and provincial structures, with respect to previously it was the Office on the Rights of the Child and Office on the Status of Disabled Persons, that we didn't see the follow-through in terms of what the national mandate was, and now this was being interpreted at a provincial level, because structurally, in terms of finances and reporting structures, provincially, people were reporting at a different level, or in terms of desks, the people appointed at a disability desk didn't have the power to exercise particular authority. But there again, the committee actually didn't have the time to follow through on oversight visits to premiers, or actually call premiers in to say, help us understand, how are you working together around target groups? And I mean, just in terms of two more things, around the functions of Parliament, there again, it was so important that when we looked at the SAT plan and our target areas, we needed to say, how much time are we spending to oversight legislation? What legislation are we actually going to consider per year and why? As well as public participation. Public participation initiatives, the Disability Summit never happened. The hearings on transport never happened, but those were issues which consistently came to the committee. And it's again because we didn't plan for it from committee side in terms of budget, as well as within the committee program. And then lastly, what we also noticed was that from the committee side, there was very little what we could track in the ATC in terms of member statements. For example, when we look at the issue around the xenophobic attacks and women and children being involved, we didn't hear members from that committee say, well, in terms of our mandate, this is what the key concerns is. And there was very little debate in the House and discussion, which was facilitated by members within the JMC. So there were opportunities, but they seemed to be lost because there needed to be a set plan that helped pull things together. And with the set plan that we eventually did do, we had to prioritize, which meant that out of the 100 things ideally we would love to do, we needed to narrow down to 20 and say realistically we can only do 10, but it's 10 in which we can do very well as opposed to 100 and spacing ourselves very thinly. So that's just kind of a summary from the additional things we picked up. Thanks.
I just want to ask a question on whether this committee is again coming to life, the JMC. Are we going to have this committee again? Because the presidency, when it comes to the work, that is, you know, this committee's work. And then the other thing that I would like to propose is, when it comes to outstanding issues, that we should look through it too, because I see there's a lot in disability, to see how can we fit it into our own work. Thank you. Yes, into our own program, yeah.
So your first question, you're asking whether the old committee is still existing?
Yes, now whether they will create it again in the JMC.
No. No, they won't. But I agree with your second suggestion that we should look at the outstanding issues and see how we pull some of the issues. But also I think what Joy has said is she's actually arming us on issues that were not done, like issues of statements and all that. I think you should pick up actually a lot from what she has said. The report now. I guess this report gets adopted, does it? Should we adopt it? No. Then after that report, I think it's now that we go to our group discussions. Am I correct? How are we going to group ourselves? Any suggestion as to how we group ourselves? What do you suggest? What do you suggest,
Faith? I think given the fact that we are so small, that we just delve right into issues around, one, the mandate, which will later inform us after lunch as to the program. I mean, just to summarize, in discussion with Chairperson during our tea break, there were one of two things in terms of a proposal for Honourable Wapela about our mandate. The committee was started with the title of Women, Children, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. We've had two briefings, one by the new ministry and one by the agency, clearly indicating what their thinking is in terms of their plan for the next year. So the suggestion is that, one, we go with our current targets of youth, women, children and persons with disabilities. And in terms of older persons, the suggestion is until the new ministry has an idea as to how they would include that in terms of, because there are legal implications in terms of their title, that we hold on to that for 2009, and that's picked up once they present in terms of their annual reporting, the MTSS cycle, which happens in September, October. But in terms of the mandate of the committee, that we honour women, youth, children, and persons with disability, but that older persons is a matter for discussion for 2010 in hindsight after the new ministry comes back to us and lets us know what their plan is. So, open for discussion.
Puyo, can you comment on what Joy has just said on the issue of the four groups that we should move with and for now leave the person, the older person?
Chairperson, thank you. I would support that proposal. And I think if we looked at the package that we have, there's an empty program for older persons, precisely for that reason that this clarity is not there yet. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson, we have to just look at our full name because changes will have to be made when it comes to people, to persons. Because that, I think it has to go through the rules, you know, because that is legal. I'm not sure how to do that. All right.
Are we now getting into the discussion? No. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I was trying to see whether you need us because I thought the proposal was that the committee will discuss alone. I wanted to ask for permission then for the people to be excused and then maybe you can let us know when next you would need us.
I think you
can be excused. Thank you. Not to go to the shops, but...
You mean to be around the building?
I don't know, but when you want, we can be...
When are you... No, we don't actually need you today.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And we can be free.
But you will need us tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Don't you have the program there with you?
Yes, I'm confirming. I mean, I'm booked to be here to
no,
be finished.
No, the program is as it stands there with
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So you can leave us.
Wanting to know how long we're going to have this discussion, sort of, you know, when the researchers must be back or whether they're going to stay with us to assist us.
This is our manage of time. How long are we going to take for group discussion?
The initial one was 15 minutes, but there's a second one. So I'm wondering whether should we not combine.
You can combine that.
That will actually assist us in cutting down the time
of
the
Can our facilitator just take us through as to how we are going to structure our discussion? Can you just take us through as to how we are going? How you propose us to move on with our discussion?
There's a suggestion on the floor, seeing that the first or initial group discussion is almost can flow into the ultimate one that was to come after lunch. Depending on how you look at it, we can either begin the discussion, like move that initial one in combination with the latest one, begin the discussion, and when lunch time comes, we break over lunch, or we even, depending on whether do you need an hour to lunch. we can either look into having maybe 30 minutes until lunch so that we spend more time on the discussions. That will help us go home earlier than the suggested 5 o'clock. I see some heads nodding. Who's for combining the two discussion groups? Oh, you're all comfortable. So we'll begin the discussions. Come lunchtime, we'll take a break for 30 minutes just to comfortably have lunch and continue. And we'll get feedback. I don't know how long should we dwell on the discussion. Overall time.
Hello, would 30 minutes be little? Is that fine? Let's take 30 minutes.
Okay. On that note, we can begin. And we'll take a break around about 1:30 to lunch and say around about 2:02, we can look into the feedbacks and a way forward coming out of the discussions. All right?
Okay, let us start. Marcus, can you then start on the notes that you have started?
Thanks a lot, Chairperson, and sorry that I was in such a great hurry to start with the discussions while the department still here. When we look at the name of the portfolio committee, I think there should be a change when it comes to that people with disabilities. That has to be changed to persons. And I think it will have to go through the rules again because this is a legal process. Now, I'm not sure because according to the department, it's for women, children, and persons with disabilities. But we are portfolio committee on. So I'm not sure if there's something wrong with that preposition. Because to me, I wouldn't see anything wrong, you know, like we are portfolio committee on. But I think we have to just look if there's something wrong with on. Or should we have four? Because I really don't know how to put it myself. And then I'll go through the mandate now. Because look at the committee, they say they're ministering.
Still with the first issue you're talking about.
Yeah, just the first issue.
On and the four.
Yes.
I think it's just a matter of English.
Yeah.
Can we be assisted there? Which is the right proposition? On.
They say four. Four women, youth, children, and persons.
My two cents with, in terms of if you look at separation of powers, the executive is about implementation. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they a committee for. Oh. They can't be on. But we have oversight on those issues, not for those issues. So therefore, our title will be on, not for.
I just made a note here that the person has to look at this rules because I didn't like go through it itself, but looking at the work that we are going to do, like you said, these are broad rules, and you asked us to look at extensions. When it comes to elderly and the older persons, I agree with putting it in abeyance to 2010-2011. But the thing is this, we have to look at, I don't know how we're going to do it, because the work that we are doing overlaps. It's transversal. Like Andre from the youth said, this is a super committee. Although we regard it just as a portfolio committee, which is correct. Because many times people would like to call it that, but it's not really. We should look at how we're going to do our transversal function. I looked at certain things that the researchers gave. And I was thinking, can't we have proposed things as they gave us the first time? But I'm not 100% sure where to start. Because if we're going to look at this work transversely, then we'll have to focus on certain departments, perhaps starting with the social cluster first. I'm just giving something for discussion. Thank you.
Can we have more contributions on that? On the issue of the mandate, how do we see the mandate?
Chair, can she, can you explain the last issue? I did not get it clearly. Okay.
I think the last issue that I spoke to is that when a person look at your mandate, the constitutional mandate is to oversight departments, implement legislation to make policy, and then we also have oversight on the Chapter 9 institutions like HR, Public Protector, Commission on Gender Equality, those, and then we have to look at the budget, restructuring and other things. Now when it comes to this committee, I think if you listen very closely when the youth was speaking, they said that look, you have youth programs in each department. And the thing is, when it comes to this committee, although we've got this ministry that we're oversighting, there are gender focal points within each department. Now, how do we oversight that? Because when it comes to certain provinces, like in certain provinces, they got this committee, but they call the committee gender. Then they look at these departments to see if they're doing things for women, things for children, things for people with disabilities, and then things for youth. They look at all that, even like, you know, you only oversight, you don't do any implementation. Because, for example, like what you were using, Kiki, you know, we've got the social development. When it comes to social development, they have older persons. But social security doesn't fall within us. We just oversight what are they doing for children? What are they doing for women? You know, things like that. Now, I think we have to discuss that. To say how far, because I think there's 32 or 34 departments, I'm not sure at national. So what do you do? Do you in your first year say, we're only going to look at 5 departments, or we're going to look at a social cluster, and see that they are catering for women, youth, children, etc. Because if you go further into this this work we received, I think the chairperson and our coordinators did a very good job. Because there is a program somewhere here too, and it looks very interesting. We're going to be busy every week. But we have to look at, you know, how do we structure ourselves? Are we going to have a meeting twice a week, and we're going to call in education? And then the next week we're going to call in social development. Yes, everything that's to do with the social cluster, things like that. Thank you.
Yes, I'm clear, Chair. But my only concern is that I think what she is suggesting is what the JMC was doing. We are now here, we have a ministry now as this portfolio committee. We are a portfolio committee now. I don't know whether is supposed to be doing what the JMC was doing, because exactly what she's suggesting is what the JMC, our researchers should bail us out on this particular one. But I suspect what she's suggesting is what was done by JMC. So now we are a portfolio committee, we should get the right guidance on what our mandate is as a portfolio committee.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with what Kiki says, that possibly we are doing what
the JMC should have been doing and didn't do. And this is why we are now greatly strengthened in being a portfolio and having a ministry. But the bottom line is still always the finance. And while we've got no finance, there's very little we can do. We'll need to call in the other departments. But I think one of the important things we need to do is to be involved with the budget process. Because the budget, when they're drawing up the budget, they need to make allocations for all these various target groups. Otherwise, it's just going to be pie in the sky and it won't necessarily be checked on. So I think that's something that we really do need to work more closely with the Finance Committee and see that there is funding, make provision for it. Chairperson, if I may just continue, you know, this budget, as the member has just said, is very minimal compared with what the youth, for example, were aiming for. Now, they're aiming very big. Perhaps we're a little bit more realistic. But unless we're going to be there to lobby for that funding in the whole MTEF process, and perhaps we should talk to the FFC, that is a very important tool that we can get them to lobby on our behalf. I was previously on the Finance Committee, and all the issues that I used to push for, like libraries and whatever, I did that through the FFC. So perhaps this is a thought that we've got to say to them, we need the funding if we're going to do a job properly. We can't just exist on handouts.
But before we get there, let's get our mandate correct. Before we get to what we are all saying now, let's get our mandate correct. You are correct, but now we are moving forward before getting our mandate correct. Let's get our mandate correct. Say a joy, we have the mandate, the general mandate of every committee. Assist us now in extending the mandate. That's all. Of course, taking into account what you said about the older persons, just get out, just extend it for us.
Chair and members, I think the first difficulty that we also grappled with when we spoke about the mandate is, yes, it's got a transversal function, but there's also now a ministry. So where do we end? Do we end with the ministry? Do we go beyond the things? So I think that is something that we also need to clarify, because we know that these units are within the ministry, and this is responsible for, but we can't possibly say we end right there and we only oversee what the ministry is going to be responsible for. So I think it's in terms of taking each of these targeted groups and saying what is it that we want to. If we look at how the ministry outlined their vision and their objectives for what they want to achieve for these targeted groups, taking a similar approach with our mandate, saying this is what we ultimately want to achieve. This is our goal in terms of equality and access and all those, and the protection of rights of persons with disabilities, children, women, and youth. So taking each of those sectors and saying this is what we want to do, and A, B, and C is how we're going to do it. The problem for me also is how do you cut that down? I think we need to say that we are not going to take over functions from other departments and other portfolio committees, because there is health, there is social development, there is those things also in social cluster that take responsibility for certain things. So if we look, the first thing for me would be in terms of international obligations that the committee has to oversee, taking it from there and saying, because ultimately this is a national oversight. The select committee also will perhaps go more into some of the provincial issues, but for us, looking at nationally, what is it that we're going to be responsible for, and also in terms of international and regional agreements. Saying this is the committee's responsibility in terms of that. And then in terms of what we how we're going to approach the different sectors, or what our goal for the different sectors are, saying we're looking at protection of rights. What is it in terms of protection of rights that we need to be looking at? We're looking at equality. In terms of equality for these groups, how is it going to approach those things? I think we need to find the wording for how we do that so that we don't burden the committee with too much. We need to make this as simple as possible and say it's only going to be A, B, and C. And, you know, ultimately we would have liked to do all of it and have oversight over everything, but we can't. And the committee is not big enough to be able to do that. So we need to choose what it is that the committee will stand for and what it is that we're going to be responsible for and address it that way. So.
Just to add on, if you look at the life of a portfolio committee, which members are familiar with, there are a set of givens which you'd have to do. In terms of the ministry and the agency, you have to look at the annual reports, you have to look at their budgets. At the beginning of the year, you need to engage with the State of the Nation address, you need to engage with the budget speech. So those are a set of givens that's going to happen, and that's how you engage with the ministry to say, what have you done, how far you've become, do you have the resources, are you spending resources on where you need to? So to build on from what Crystal's saying, so part of the mandate is one, we've already included the work around the ministry and the agency. Two, international treaties. I mean, just off the top of my head, there's three treaties, key treaties. CEDAW, that's the one that refers to women. There's the United Nations on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Then there's a Convention on the Rights of Children. Three international treaties. And that in and by itself is huge, because those treaties look at transversal functions across all departments, what are departments supposed to do. The third thing is, I know there have been members saying we need to be in line with what government's doing in terms of the 10 priorities. Now, given those 10 priorities, and again, following on what Crystal's saying, we're not going to take over the work from other portfolio committees. But what of those 10 priorities with respect to women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities do we feel we can do justice to in the next 5 years? The obvious thing is the extent to which rights of these people are not violated. And the second thing could be, for example, education is a key priority. And we've seen violence and health is a key priority, saying, well, and SMMEs and unemployment. Those three things, if you look at how you group them together, that cuts across how we can be different to the portfolio committee on higher education. When we engage with issues of education pertaining to children, we can confer with another portfolio committee, but also we can, as the suggestion was, bring in a cluster, have a cluster of departments, say, well, collectively, in terms of nodes of schools and nodes of care and support, how is the education at primary level facilitating the development of children and youth? To what extent does education facilitate youth enter into tertiary education? In terms of economic empowerment, how we will be different to the committee around public enterprises is to group the cluster together to say, well, in terms of government's poverty alleviation strategies and employment, what is that Department of Labor doing to address unemployment and gender parity when it comes to youth and women? How do persons with disabilities fit in? So the suggestion is, one, the mandate is beginning to take shape. We're saying, in terms of the ministry and the agency, there are things you have to do. The annual reports, the budgets, that's a given, and their stat plans. Two, international treaties. The committee must say, well, do we want to prioritize those with respect to our four target groups, and what are the key priorities that we want to monitor every year? The third thing is, in terms of themes, as Honorable Maroha said, if we group these things and we link our themes to something, the 10 priorities. So what of those 10 priorities do we feel we can do justice to? And it does mean making a choice. We can't do all 10, but out of those 10, what do we feel is very important that we want to follow on? But how we follow on is by clustering departments together when we do oversight. Oh, last, most important of all, issues around legislation. We need to prioritize what's the legislation that we want to take forth and do. Because there we begin to, one, it's already taking shape, the mandate and the program for this year and for the next 5 years. Thank you.
You are going to touch on the issue of the Chapter 9 institutions. We are not going to deal with all of them. Can you just say a bit on specific ones that relate to this committee?
In terms of Chapter 9, I'm just looking to talk to the Commission of Gender Equality. But under the South African Human Rights Commission, they're currently putting in a children's commissioner, and I think that's very important. We need to engage with that. And I mean, tomorrow, when the Human Rights Commission comes to present to us, we can ask them, what are you doing with these, in terms of these four target groups? How far is the appointment of the children's commissioner? Again, I think it's depending on our issue, which Chapter 9 institution we want to pull in. Again, and that's based on your theme, because we can't do all the Chapter 9 institutions, but we can pull on depending on what the committee feels it wants to take on as a priority, because we'll talk to the CGE.
I think one of the key things, and the CGE will be here tomorrow, one of the, you know, the JMC called them, but the funding for the CGE comes from justice. So at times you could have a situation where people say, no, but we report to justice. Yes, any committee can call us, but our line function as such is to the Committee of Justice. So also we need to find out from the CGE whether there's been discussions in terms of reporting lines now. Yes, the funding is still from justice, but there is definitely a link with this committee. Before the agencies to come and present their budgets and annual reports, but we have the oversight function now also over that committee in terms of gender equality. So that's the most important one in terms of women.
So if you are saying that, it would seem that there could be some amendments done on the legislation so as to suit this new ministry, shifting it from justice,
The CGE Act, I think, says that they report to justice, but maybe we could propose an amendment that says, in line with what this committee covers and the mandate of the committee, that perhaps it should be reporting directly to the committee.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether members brought through this, what the research unit did for us. Because I think it's a very good starting point, you know, when you look at the introduction. Because they speak about the delivery priorities for committee. Then they give you what you monitor. They speak to it. Then they speak to oversight, monitoring, and evaluation role of the committee. They speak about the importance to it. So I think let us go through this. And yes, they gave it the very first time to us. Is it in the back? Oh, I didn't notice because I just brought mine along. Let us look at that and then work around that one. Because it gives the themes at the back. It speaks to legislation that we have to look at. And then the international commitments. And then issues for consideration during this past parliament, what we can look at itself. Then they speak again to policies, treaties, and everything for each one.
Advantage some of us. I don't think we are all carrying that one.
I'm proposing, let us look at this
as a basis of our way forward, you know, what we're going to do. Because I find, when it comes to delivery priorities, etc., this introduction and background, that could be it's really good objectives, that what are we striving towards. So let us just look at that quickly. I'm trying to find my one quickly, yeah. Because if you look at that, where they got oversight, monitoring, and evaluation role of committee is important. Then they speak to ensure. Have you got it? Yes. Yes, I got it, Danny. Thanks a lot, Chairperson. You know, for what will our role be for the year or for the 5 years? And there are three objectives where we can say to ensure that the rights of the socially vulnerable groups, but now we can put in targets or whatever are considered and prioritized in all legislation, policies, and programs. And that will also give us that transversal effect, you know, when it comes to legislations, policies, and programs, because we are not going to call everyone in. Then appropriate budgets, as Mrs. Robertson was speaking about, allocated for implementation, monitoring, evaluation of legislation, policies, and programs, and to improve the quality of life and the status of the targeted groups across social and racial spectrum in South Africa. Then we can just put in our four target groups there. That we can do. That is our objective. Because I think if we put that as objective, it will cover even these core functions or the core objectives that the department is speaking about. Because it does give access. It speaks to equality. It speaks to, it speaks to everything they are seeking to do when it comes to their vision, because it's, they speak about a fully inclusive society, free from unfair discrimination, abuse, and exploitation. That is on page 6 when you look at their vision. So let us see whether we can get people to agree on this, because I think that's why I brought this along with me. That what the researchers did, they really worked in our mandate and they did it very well.
So in short, you are saying that we should move from the basis of this, what has been prepared here.
Yes, we can discuss it.
Can we discuss that?
Mm-hmm. And agree to it.
Obviously. I'm expecting some comments from the members. From what Marcus has just read for us.
Okay. You see, my problem is that last I was in that JMC committee. And exactly this is what that committee was doing. That's why I'm having serious problems, because we're not a joint monitoring committee. We have a portfolio committee now on women. So I don't think our oversight is the same as the joint monitoring honestly, that's why I'm a bit skeptical. But keep you remember, there's no longer a joint monitoring. So why is it worrying you? It's no longer
it's
there.
It's because we're not replacing it as well. We are not replacing it as well.
So we could pick up from what it has been doing. Can't you do that?
Yes. Chairperson, I think I agree with you, Chairperson, because seeing that it's no more there, we can get pieces from it, and we are a new portfolio committee, and we can build up from, even from the one that she's talking about, that and then work on the one that's standing. I wish
otherwise, Kiki, how would you see us doing it then, in your view?
In my view, firstly, is that why is this ministry established? That's my first question. Why the establishment of a women's ministry? The establishment of a women's ministry is because we had the gender machinery last. The gender machinery that could not function properly to take up the issues on women. Let me just make an example of one. Let me not talk about everything. Who could not, after 15 years, the problems of the women remain the same. The poverty, women are still poverty stricken out there. And there was a need. There was a study tour that was done in Chile and Tunisia. That was the reason. And then after those lessons, there was a proposal that there should be a women's ministry. But now the women's ministry cannot be JMC. We are not replacing JMC. We are a new portfolio committee with a totally different mandate. And we have a totally different mandate from the JMC. So I'm a bit concerned if we are going to say we are going to, because most of these the roles of this committee, this is the role that was the role of the JMC. No, it's not supposed to be the role. We are talking here about a ministry, a women's ministry, that is supposed even to deliver. We're talking about its deliveries. I think if we should start by saying, why was this established? What is it? I also do not have answers to it, Ms.
Yeah.
But I'm a bit worried whereby we're going to a strategic session and then we come up with the wrong knowledge.
Don't get disturbed. It's precisely why you are sitting here. We want to hear what you are saying, things like that.
But Chair, you know, honestly, the reason why I'm
hold
not...
Hold on, Kiki. We want to come up with something that we would want to see this ministry doing.
Mm.
Or this committee.
Yeah. Yeah. Chair, why don't we rather look at what the other, our researcher has started looking at what the other portfolio committees do.
We've got that. We've got that in the rules. We have that.
Yeah.
But what we are saying, we should extend a bit on that, because this seems to be a bit of a special committee with some kind of a special mandate. Is that what we are saying? So we've got what you are saying, but we want to extend to that. It's a problem because and so difficult to it's just a matter of adding to the
to the existing mandate of the general existing mandate.
Chair, I'm just wanting to try and understand what Kiki's problem is. I accept that she said we're doing the same sort of things as they did. And I think that is what we need to do. The problem was that the JMCs didn't function properly. The way they were put together, it wasn't working. But the ideas and the ideals that they had are what we are now going to be doing. Because we've got a ministry, we're going to get more power and be able to give effect to it. And yet we may be able to add to what they did. But I do see that we are replacing them, but in a format that is going to be more effective so that we can make things work. Whereas previously they just talked or sometimes didn't even talk because they didn't have meetings. But we are going to be properly structured, meet regularly, and have ourselves with targets.
We also need to take into account that if you look at the JMC, it was very common for them to be, you know, a bit crippled because they didn't have a ministry. So it would seem they were just scratching around for resources. But here we are now. We have a ministry. This committee has a ministry. So we can check what was supposed to be done, like Robinson is saying, by the JMC and use it effectively on this new committee.
Now, let me just stand over. I think what Denise has said brought a little bit light because what I wanted to ask is the JMC, did the JMC serve to oversight the section under the presidency when the women, people with disability, youth were under the presidency? Was that the case? And that is the concern that we now going to take over the JMC's role. Okay, I just wanted to have it.
I have a suggestion. I don't know, it may or I'm gonna give a bash. I want to see on Bukiki's concern that we need to.
I hate you when you look that way. Talk straight to the mic so I can capture what you're.
Okay. I'm just looking at one of the objectives we could put down. To hold to account the key executive structures that are responsible for improving the life of women, youth, children, persons with disabilities. Vis-a-vis the new Ministry on the Women, Youth, Children, Persons with Disability and the National Youth Development Agency. So that's our first objective that shapes the mandate. So we, on the onset we say, who are we holding to account? The new Ministry and the agency. How are we different to the JMC? The JMC couldn't sit with legislation. They could give input, but they wouldn't. That wasn't in their mandate. This is the mandate of this committee. So where we need to change the issue around legislation, we need to say something specific. So we're not just monitoring the implementation of legislation. We need to go back to the Rules 201 and say, what does Rules 201 say about what we can do in terms of legislation? Because there again, it tells me immediately how I am different to the JMC. Besides in monitoring and overseeing legislation, we can be responsible for initiating legislation. So the second objective must be something specific around to ensure that appropriate legislation dealing with women, youth and children with disabilities are implemented. Monitored and overseen year two. So again, there are two things which makes us different to the JMC, but still following on, we name the ministry and the agency from the onset. The second thing in terms of legislation, we saying we can implement, but we can also monitor and oversee, which means that maybe in terms of this amendment to the CGE Act, that's how we can introduce an amendment. So the second objective is around legislation. The third objective is to be responsible for ensuring, again, appropriate budgets.
Sorry. Yeah. Are you also saying that we should also be responsible for initiating legislation? Okay.
Yeah, because again, that's the power of the portfolio committee. We can initiate legislation. And we've already identified maybe we want to look at the amendment of the CGE Act because perhaps it's best CGE comes to us for reporting. The third objective again, monitor and oversee appropriate budgets are allocated for implementing and monitoring of evaluation legislation policies and programs with respect to the targeted groups. So again, we're saying when it comes to budgets, it's with respect to the appropriate target groups. The fourth thing, I would have something specific to ensure something about international treaties, to ensure that to ensure the compliance of international treaties that have bearing onto the lives of women, youth, children, and persons with disabilities. So that's the first thing is enable the opportunities in which we engage with civil society around public participation initiatives that speaks, that allows women, youth, children, persons with disabilities to give voice to their key concerns which have bearing on their lives today. So it covers, you know, what I've done now, we've looked at oversight, we looked at legislation, we looked at international treaties, and we've also looked at public participation.
And budgets.
Yeah. So, Honourable Kiki, does that help soothe your fears?
Kiki, we are doing all this for you. So, can you comment? How do you see it? No, a concern, a proper concern. Mm. So I just want to check, are you partly covered?
Yes, I'm partly covered, Chair. I was a bit concerned about the other one because we were more or less like now, the JMC. At least now we are different.
I like the one where we are now going to have powers to initiate legislation. Then we can, that would give us a weapon to really oversee other departments once we, you know, we have those powers. So you saying something?
We are covered because it's the same thing that he said, yeah, but only different words are being used.
Okay.
It's exactly the same thing, but it's just different words. Thank you.
Different words can change us. It's fine.
Can I suggest we, like, 2 minutes before Opus 1? So I propose, can you hear from members and chairperson, that we print out what we have now. So when members come back, you go through it and we read,
yeah.
And then each objective, which is part of our mandate, we can actually iron out even more. So, for example, with respect to legislation, we can say in terms of initiating legislation, the committee proposes for the as part of its planning for the next 5 years that we consider these two. In terms of overseeing, we consider these three. So we begin to unpack each of those five objectives. And so that when we look at the proposed program, we can map out our mandate, our objectives in relation to the program.
Why don't we break for lunch now? We're supposed to go for lunch at 1. Let's break now. It's 1:30. Then we come back. We do what you're proposing. Come up with what you have prepared for us, and we look at it. Thanks.